go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 11th day of June 2021. The first full week of June comes to a close. We are now officially at the one-third mark of the month of June, seeing as how the month will end on June 31st, at least according to Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is also Friday on the Front Porch, which will commence in about an hour. And if you'd like to participate, and I highly encourage you to, new folks that regulars, folks who haven't been in a while, you know, just come on by. There's a button at the top of headon.live. Press it, and you don't even, if you're running a Windows 10 machine, you won't even have to have Skype. And you can be part of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation, which is moderated from the seat of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable by Sparky. And in the meantime, if you'd like to augment your listening pleasure, then, live-wise, then hop on over to headon.live, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers, Ralphs and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. Yeah, I got a feeling we've got the potential for some busy conversation this evening, but let's attend to the gratitude part, because that's how every program here at the Horn begins, because that's how every program here at the Horn exists, is by the good nature and good graces of the people who make sure that this program happens. And that means thanks so kindly to Christopher in Oregon. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you to Tony and Chico. Thank you to John. Thank you also very much indeed. And thank you to Elizabeth for jumping in early and taking the fundraising goal down from $990 to $965. So we're looking at a bit of a Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle if we are to finish the first full week of June in proper form. $965. That is a daunting figure, but hopefully we'll knock it down. Looks like it's Ralphs is watching. Ralphs is announcing to the chat room a Tiny Kittens YouTube channel, and there's a mama kitty having some kittens there. It's sweet. And so far, I haven't heard much from the boys outside. I'm sure we will at some point, because it's been rainy here, and they don't like the rain. But they've got lots of places to stay out of the rain, so that's one of those things that the boys need to figure out. Let's see. Where to begin this Friday on the Front Porch? I think it is all but impossible not to begin with, the obvious. Let me see here. I'm just And by the obvious, I mean the fact that former Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr is an inveterate, compulsive, perjury-committing liar. Yeah. Yeah, what do I mean by that? Well, the revelation from the New York Times that both, not just Barr, though, his predecessor, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, actively spied upon, and, you know, this isn't some made-up thing.
Yeah, they spied upon my campaign with no good reason.
No, there was a real good reason to surveil the foreigners, the foreign adversaries that the Trump campaign was playing footsie with. There was plenty of good reason for that. But in this case, it was pure retaliation. And the Tood got the ball rolling, and then Bill Pepe the Frog Barr came in and continued the dirty business. That seems like the obvious place to begin. Let's see. I've actually got the clip because we get to time travel with this for a second. I mean, this is really something. He was Barr really did go hog wild, you know. And you can't talk about this story without mentioning Nixon. And so over on CNN today, Berman and Keeler, something in me wants to call them Bourbon and Coke. It's just my brain. It's no reflection on them. They do a decent job. But Berman said in a discussion said, well, you know, the Trump administration violated norms that the FBI has followed for decades and decades and decades. And that's a direct quote. Decades and decades and decades. And so that got me thinking. That's decades and decades and decades would be 30 years, at least. Which takes me back to, okay, decade 2021, 2011, 2001, 1991. Yeah, so maybe okay, because two more decades and you're back with Nixon. And then, of course, there's the filthy Reagan administration. And I don't think the FBI, and, you know, certainly the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, which had no compulsion about spying on Dr. Martin Luther King, trying to smear Dr. Martin Luther King. So the FBI is certainly not, no, those norms haven't been as normy as we kind of wish they had been. But reference was made to, and I thought about this as well. You remember when he was being confirmed or rubber stamped for all intents and purposes by the Moscow Mitch Senate? Remember that? Yeah, me too. Nonetheless, let's review that audio again, shall we? This is then Senator, now Vice President Kamala Harris, interrogating Bill Barr on what would turn out to be a rather significant topic.
Has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone?
I wouldn't.
Yes or no?
Ow.
Could you repeat that question?
I will repeat it. Yeah. Has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone? Yes or no, please?
That's a fairly straightforward question. You know why I had to repeat it? Because it's the same thing as the old story about an aged and dying W.C. Fields sitting on his porch and having one of his buddies come by and see him reading a Bible. and saying, Fields, you old atheist, what are you doing with the Bible? And Fields looks up slowly and perhaps removes his reading glasses and looks at his friend and says, looking for a loophole. That's that. Could you repeat the question? Because he was parsing every word, Bill Peppy the Frog Barr was. He was trying to find a place to run to, a place to hide, some word that would allow him to prevaricate and obfuscate. And the word wasn't really there.
Sir.
The president or anybody else.
Seems you'd remember something like that and be able to tell us.
Yeah, no. No, he wasn't. He wasn't able. Because what he was doing was committing perjury. And one wonders if there will be any kind of consequences for this. Because as ever, it seems like the IOKIYAR standard always seems to apply in such situations, and it's to an infuriating degree. Because Bill Peppy the Frog Barr did, in fact, perjure himself in that hearing. He probably did that several times. And I would say it's probably a safe assumption that Senator Harris knew at that point in time, because she's a good enough prosecutor that she's not going to ask questions she doesn't know the answers to. She probably already knew or had rumblings of something like this going on. And she was feeding coil after coil after coil of rope to Attorney General Bill Peppy the Frog Barr, because it's a long game, as Mitch McConnell has pointed out in his memoir, his autobiography. And the long game, it may finally begin to be playing out, because there's no Donald Trump there to pardon him. He might have to ride this one out himself. Now, here's the next question, based on a couple of disturbing things that we have observed over the last week or so. Would Merrick Garland's Department of Justice actually hold Bill Barr to account for this? Would there be an indictment? Is a grand jury already hearing it as a matter of course? We don't know. But due to the New York Times reporting, and the story they published yesterday says this: as the Justice Department investigated who was behind leaks of classified information early in the Trump administration, it took a highly unusual step. Prosecutors subpoenaed Apple for data from the accounts of at least two Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee, aides and family members. One was a minor. All told, the records of at least a dozen people tied to the committee were seized in 2017 and early 2018, including those of Representative Adam B. Schiff of California, then the panel's top Democrat, and now its chairman, according to committee officials and two other people briefed on the inquiry. That then leads to the question of who did the briefing. It would seem that the Merrick Garland Department of Justice must have hipped the people who were surveilled, who had their records seized. You know, the Fourth Amendment speaks in terms of being secure in one's persons, papers, and effects. Well, this is the modern meaning of that. But since it was seized from Apple, and since, for instance, Adam Schiff is a representative from California, you got to wonder if maybe that's how the information made its way to then-Senator Kamala Harris. As Steve in New York points out, the real tell with Senator Harris is that she knew he was lying. She knew the answer. She was making the record. And that's absolutely the case. Kyle was ready to roll about a half an hour before the program started and said, I hate to start off by screaming, but how the fuck is Barr and Trump not in prison for illegally seizing metadata of fucking U.S. lawmakers and their families? And how is the Apple CEO able to walk free for giving it to them? And how is this different from Russia or name a fascist country? Why are we letting them get away with everything? And actually, Rod Rosenstein may be the one who might be the worst in all this shit, but Jesus fucking Christ, someone do something. Kyle is apparently not sanguine about the prospects, noting Merrick Garland is too busy defending Trump and his regime in court to hold him accountable for breaking the law. Don't hold your breath. Again, I hate to be a downer, but based on evidence, I know. But, How was there not some record of a search warrant? Was this the Patriot Act? The horrifying display. But Kyle's right. This is the kind of dirty business that authoritarian regimes do. It sounds like it might have actually even been maybe a... Donnie, it's Vlad. I'm having a good idea. You need to fix this leak you have leaking. Perhaps send your FBI to look into... Yeah, you see... Because anything is possible with that gang of punks and thugs. So we'll probably be talking about that in the front porch conversation. And by the way, a note coming in from our pal, Rico. The continuing Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. Hey, my Queen Robin. Hey, Rico. I'm putting up a $75 Fuck Joe Manchin, and I'll add $25 challenge if it's met. And Fuck Kyrsten Sinema, too. None of this is literal, by the way. I understand. Buddha bless you and the Horn community. Let's knock this deficit down, babies. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so much. The continuing Fuck Joe Manchin challenge is now on the table to the tune of $75. If we raise that, Rico will add another $25, meaning we will go down from $9.65 for the week. Well, that'll take us down to, $7.70. That would be tremendous. So if we meet that challenge, we'll be down to $7.70, and let's see, that we'd have just $170 left of Tuesday, which would be tremendous. Thank you. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, we're done with Tuesday. We'd be down to $170 of Wednesday in terms of funding the week's broadcasting. Thank you. Thank you, Rico. So we've got that story to deal with. But they started again under Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions III. And that little bastard needs prosecuted, too. Because make no mistake, this shit is illegal. Using the DOJ as your personal enforcers of your enemies list, yeah, that really is. Because we kind of established that with Nixon. It's not like this is a close call. And in a way, it's reminiscent of something. I got a note from our buddy Gary in New York earlier today with a cogent question why don't we hear about the settled law decided in Jacobson versus Massachusetts that has been used at least 34 times as precedent to decide on the state's ability to mandate vaccines as well as most other measures that would protect the community at large, you know, public health? It ruled on the individual's obligations to the safety and security of the general population. This is a decent synopsis of the decision and its importance, and sends a link. Gary goes on to say, I hope you're safe and healthy. As far as I can tell, yes, thank you. Gary said, I barely made it through my bout with COVID. My doctor daughter told me just 2 days ago that she thought I was going to die when I was hospitalized. She was consulting with my physicians daily while I was being treated. She waited 2.5 months to tell me that. Well, I'm glad she was mistaken. As are we all, Gary. And continued recovery and healing and good health to you, my friend. And no, nobody talks about Jacobson versus Massachusetts. And maybe they're trying not to smarten up the chumps. I don't know. But it is settled law that we the people, in the form of our own governance, have the right to mandate vaccines. It's beyond question. Except for the fact that nothing now with this gang of six judicial punks and thugs, and don't forget the pissants, on the Supreme Court, yet nothing is safe. Hell, they may decide to reestablish the precedent of separate but equal via Plessy if they can't be argued to have already done so. Got to remember, old balls and strikes, dead-eyed John Roberts said, ain't no racism in America no more. Doesn't exist. What racism? And so if something like a challenge to a vaccine mandate, which, you know, we don't have so far, it's just, it's strictly voluntary to decide not to be a public health hazard to your fellow Americans. But a vaccine mandate would probably be challenged in court, and when by the time it got up to the Supreme Court, 100 years of settled law might very well go swirling down the toilet. Because this gang of judicial punks, thugs, and grifters, and pissants is more than capable of doing that. They've shown us in the last year how willing they are to throw out the Constitution in favor of the so-called right of religion industry assholes to call people into their sanctuaries to bark and grunt and hoot and roll on the ground and speak in tongues and rub Crisco all over each other and juggle fucking pit vipers and the like. And the public wheel goes begging and pounds sand to placate the religion industry snowflakes. Which in turn, that story, and I say that it's reminiscent, I mean, the idea of mandatory vaccines is not the same thing, but the settled law. That was settled law. It's settled law that what the Trump administration did by going after Adam Schiff and others' data, it's also settled law that they shouldn't be, that they can't do that. But they did it some more. Steve in New York suggesting, I'm thinking it was a FISA warrant. I'm just nerd enough to have researched and read parts of the FISA. As I recall, the AG can sign a warrant, but the DOJ must go to the FISA court within 72 hours to have the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court ratify the warrant. I'd almost guarantee that Barr did this, got the information within 72 hours, but then didn't go to the FISC to ratify the warrant. I also would not put it past Trump to involve the Russians to pressure Apple to keep quiet about the fact that Barr did not seek FISC ratification. But the F, Steve, the F in FISA and FISC is foreign. Where's the foreign connection to the leaks? Maybe in Ukraine?
But no, another story that's banging around out there. Oh, and thank you. Thank you, Kyle. Kyle just got us started on the Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. So, you know, fuck Joe Manchin. Thank you very kindly. And Donald continued the fuck to chime in on the Fuck Joe Manchin challenge. So fuck Joe Manchin. And so that brings down the $75 challenge by $40. And Rico's Fuck Joe Manchin challenge needs only $30 more to have been met. So thank you. Thank you, Rico. Thank you, Kyle. And thank you, Don. Thank you so very much indeed. Yeah, oh yeah, says Kyle. I forgot about the Klan Keebler elf asshole. Well, it's okay. That's forgivable because there were so many assholes in that maladministration. But since we were talking about vaccine mandates, here's one. By virtue of an announcement from the attending physician of the United States Congress, members of the House of Representatives who have been fully vaccinated are now allowed to go maskless, even to the House floor. And according to the ruling, I guess we can use that term, ruling from the attending physician of the Congress, vaccinated people can also voluntarily wear masks if they wish, which is only right. And so there are, well, I would dare say the entirety of the House Democratic Caucus is probably vaccinated. Over on the Republican side, not so much. In point of fact, over 100 members of the House of Representatives who are at the same time, of course, maggots, Republicans, well, they won't reveal whether they've been vaccinated or not. And I'm sure some of that is just plain old-fashioned garden variety assholishness. But the other part of it is they're probably scared. Because if you're, a Marjorie Trader gangrene cue ball, and you've actually been vaccinated, if you announce that you've been vaccinated, then your maggot constituency back there in that weird, big-eared, buggy-eyed, banjo-picking district of Georgia, well, the folks back home might not be too happy with you. They might decide that you are now a danger to them, what with being walking around with them Bill Gates liquid barcodes, being directed in your thoughts and actions by Bill Gates's 5G technology, right? And they might actually think you'd gone to playing for the other team. Wake up, sheeple! Well, by refusing to announce their vaccine status, that means they will continue to be they will continue to be required to wear a mask, among other people, representing Thomas Massey. He's the jackass who tried to tell, I want that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to know that she ain't welcome in Kentucky. Yeah, right. He said he hasn't gotten the vaccine, and he claims that because he done had the Rona, that he doesn't need it, because he done got him some antibodies. Yeah, dumbass, you don't have antibodies against the Indian variant or the British variant or never mind all the variants. But he's one of the ones who said, I ain't got it. Back in May, on the 19th, CNN confirmed all 219 House Democrats have gotten the vaccine. 97 out of 211 MAGA Republicans admitted they had gotten it. But 109 Republican offices did not respond to multiple inquiries from CNN about the status of their vaccines. I mentioned Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber. She has it announced. I don't think Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, you know, Clanny Oakley. Have we heard from Louis Asparagus Gohmert? I don't know. But just today, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber posted a video of herself attacking verbally House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and also attacking, of course, Dr. Anthony Fauci, because as we heard her say a night or so ago, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in God. Right. You believe. You believe. Keep on believing.
I trust the science. And I'm not brainwashed by everyone that is addicted to the cult called the woke COVID religion. And it is a cult, believe me.
There's that believing again.
There's a lot of people in the cult, other than Speaker Maskell, Governor Cuomo, Governor Newsom. You guys don't like him, do you? What about Governor Whitmer from Michigan?
No, they wanted to kill her.
Yeah, so they, you know, they have a little prayer, they say. I'm going to read it to you.
Really?
It's a pretty good one. If you're in the woke COVID religion, you know, they have pillows with Fauci's face on there, T-shirts. I don't even know. It's kind of crazy.
No small amount of irony in her calling anything kind of crazy.
They start out and they say, "Hail, Dr. Fauci, full of mask. The COVID vaccine is with you. Blessed are you among all federal employees, and blessed is your paycheck, because it's the highest in the federal government. Oh, Dr. Fauci, full of mask, pay the Wuhan Clinic some more money and send us more viruses, so that we may control America, completely take over, and turn America into a socialist nation."
I bet you she can't even. I would give anything to see that script that she was reading from, because I'm almost 100% certain socialist is misspelled. S-O, social. S-O-S-H, socialist. S-O-S-H-U-L. Socialism is IZD, socialist. Jesus. You know, wouldn't it be nice if the House of Representatives really could come together and expel her? And that little, a similar little miracle took place in the state of Oregon. They actually got together and expelled the Republican maggot member of the House who invited rioters into the building. The only person voting not to expel that particular maggot was himself. Yeah. Best part of that story, though, when I ran across it, was the one of his Republican colleagues said, Well, you know, the tipping point for me was when I realized, you know, I'd asked him, is there any more video of you doing anything else awful? And he said, no, no, there's not. He lied to me! As I pointed out to our pal Gary, different Gary, member of the fraternity of Gary's, our pal Gary in Oregon, that was particularly law-worthy, a Republican complaining that another Republican had lied. Yeah, I'm shocked to find out there's gambling going on here. Yeah. But they expelled him. And the same thing needs to happen with Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber. Just expel her, and don't worry, she'll be fine. She can maybe move to New York and be a correspondent on Fox or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Newsmuck, and she can find another gym bunny to have an affair with. So much potential there. Lee in New York, Republicans and masks. Republicans need to keep wearing masks. And that thing on Rand Paul's head needs to wear a hat. Yeah, a little pointy one. Oh, wait, no, that's only for the Clavering meetings. Right. I trust the science. Kyle notes, as she goes on to show she has no idea what the fuck the word science even means. I know. Oh, Jesus, Kyle asks. How long till Marjorie Trader Gangrene and the libertarian ophthalmologist start screaming about how they're being discriminated against, and it's just like segregation, and it's just like the Nazis, and do I have enough alcohol to deal with it? I'd lay in a stock if I were you, Kyle. Because and I wouldn't spend much money on it, because this is the kind of stuff you want the really nasty, cheap tequila for. Steve observing, I wonder if her cult members understand that she was basing her Fauci prayer off the Hail Mary, a prayer from them Mary worshiping mackerel snapping papists. Ho ho ho, that sure was funny. I don't care who you are right now. No. Oh, going back to the F in FISA, Jeremy in Vermont said it's pretty clear where the F comes from. Hunter Biden's emails to Hillary Clinton. Hunter Biden! Hillary Clinton! Benghazi! Hey! Assholes. Well, thank you very kindly. That was just a really sweet note. And Scott in Wisconsin said, I'll do 100. If it gets matched, I'll do another 100. Whoa, what? Wow, Scott, thank you. So we got 30 bucks to go on the Fuck Joe Manchin Challenge, courtesy of Rico, fully vaccinated in the Blissful Burg. And Scott's going to jump in with 100. That'll take us down to 670. And if somebody will match that 100, that'll take us down to 570, and Scott will throw another 100 on top of that and get us down to 470. And so we'll be fully funded up through Wednesday and part of Thursday. That's fantastic, Scott. Thank you so much. Oh, let's not let this one go by the boards. Thank you, Scott. Love you, too. Leave Gohard alone, says Lee in New York. He's still trying to understand the Earth's orbit. Did you know the Earth is closer to the sun in January when it's cold and farther from the sun in July when it's hot? Yeah, but what about on June 31st, Lee? Oh, I can't. You know, I thought it was awfully nice of Q to add an extra day to Pride Month. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, tomorrow is, of course, we had the little Pride picnic last Saturday. In Fayetteville, but tomorrow's going to be my first real live, honest-to-goodness Pride event, and it's over in Beckley, and it's going to pour the freaking rain, and I'm going to look like a little drowned trans woman rat, but that's okay. I'm wearing the waterproof mascara. She can learn. Mm-hmm. Brother Deacon Asa says of Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber, this See You Next Tuesday wants to out crazy Trump. I have five clams here that says Marjorie Trader Gangrene will run for the pig fucker nomination in 2023. Oh, I see what you did there. 2023. Clever. Well, then again, it's probably on the Q calendar, so who knows. Way to cotton-picking minutes, says Chris in Oregon. A Republican lied? Was shocked. Shocked, I tell you. It started getting lighter out in the sky this morning around 5:21 a.m. I know. But look. I mean, there were Republicans who voted to throw out that maggot insurrectionist from the state house in Oregon. Kel surprise. Kyle says, next time give a hockey puck warning before bringing up the word emails or Benghazi. My poor puppy will end up on the ceiling if I yell at her again. I mean, he's not yelling at her. She just thinks it because she's a puppy. They're discomforted by loud noises. Yeah. Wow, thank you, Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene in Rogues Island just met Scott's challenge. So we're down to 470. That is amazing. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. And actually, it's 463 because Ralph's jumped in and said, kicking in a little $7 challenge for Pomelo, the tiny kitten's mama, and her kittens. Oh, that's sweet. Any torties in the mix? I haven't been able to, I can't watch, but any torties in the mix, Ralph? Ralph's? Found out. That little Lucy Purr is quite possibly the most interesting cat I've ever known. And she's also one of the warmest and sweetest and most undeniably insane. It's a lovely combination. And I swear to God she's trying to speak English. Mom? Mom? That's when she's talking to Agnes. And other little single syllable noise words. Yeah, and the insurrectionist maggot in Oregon was Mike Nearman. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be near man nor near woman, Mike. I'll take a pass on that. No, what? Sometimes it's just too much, David in South Carolina, Stan. Hockey. Okay, get the hockey puck for this headline from Business Insider. QAnon followers think a cicada landing on President Biden may be a veiled communication. Oh, God. From Q. You know, I'd rather have a cicada land on me than say the fly on Mike Pence's head, because that just kind of Lord of the Flies, right? A post on a 225,000 member, get that, 225,000 member QAnon Telegram chat said the insects landing on Biden may be comms from Q. Because give me a second, my liver's quivering again. Cicadas spend, and I've been bummed out. I was expecting what is this, Brood X or Brood Z, whatever. Not Brood Q, now quit it. Just cut that out. I was expecting to hear them here, but we got our brood, our noisy brood last year, I guess, and they've interrupted air travel and stuff like that, but it's pretty quiet here in the hills, and I was looking forward to them because it really, you know, when they really get going, it's a hell of a racket, as in noise, not, you know, confidence game. But no, the cue balls think that it's a secret message from Q, the cicada that landed on President Biden. because the cicadas spent 17 years underground, probably in the basement of the Comet Ping Pong Pizza Parlor in D.C. that doesn't have a basement. And it just so happens, oh my God, it could be. Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet. My God. They know. Nah. But what is the message? Well, I guess we'll have to wait for that. I think I know what the message is. The message is, don't forget to drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah.
This is going a little rough for Steve. Dollar sign, up arrow, asterisk, paren, close paren, ampersand, up symbol, hash, dollar sign, up symbol, ampersand, percent, E, dollar sign, dollar sign. Steve screaming, cicadas as comm links! There has been plenty of crazy in these here new naughty states of America. How in the ever-living fuck did we get this crazy? You know, it all started with the Beatles and the White Album. Or maybe it started with Strawberry Fields Forever. I buried Paul. No, we were saying cranberry sauce. Nah, you can't fool us. Paul's out of step. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. I know. Pure lunacy. Kyle says, holy fuck, help. So the so-called Christians just outed themselves as believers in numerology? Isn't that idol worship or some shit? Oh, well, I mean, next thing, no, they're going to, the cicadas will land on Joe Biden, and they will all organize into the shape of 666, and then we'll know. Oh, God. Oh, we left out a detail. Lee in New York points out, Q, 17th letter of the alphabet. Cicadas spent 17 years underground, and 17 is also the IQ of the QAnon people. Mm-hmm. That's your cowbell. What's this about mascara? Steve in New York says, no. You have to wear regular mascara and experience that smeared, droopy mascara look. I'm thinking that's a rite of passage. No. Agnes is trying to save me from those embarrassing moments. But as for, you know, there's nothing like a sopping wet hat, straw hat, to contribute to the whole droopy vibe. Yeah, it was supposed to be pretty, but now everyone's like, well, you know, dress cool, Robin, dress cool. It'll be hotter than hell. 50% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. No, I'm sorry. It just changed to 60. Can it get any awesomer? And it starts at noon, 50%, 1 o'clock, 50%, 40, 40, 30, 30. Yeah, I'm going to get rained on. And since it's a thunderstorm, it'll be extra fun. Because I'm going to take an umbrella, and, you know, maybe I'll just strap a mashy niblick on top of it to make sure it's. Near man, says Lee in New York. Near woman, choose your lane. I think I've already made my choice. Not a choice. Megan, meanwhile, no droopy ass mascara. That shit will make your eyes itch. Listen to Agnes. I try always ever so to do. Yes. Oh, and Chris in Oregon. Cicadas Biden attack. If enough cicadas land on Biden and carry him away, does that mean T-Rump get to be president again? No. That would be Vice President Harris would get to. And, you know, we used to make jokes that the QAnon people get messages through the fillings in their teeth, and it turns out it was the cicadas all along. Nah, the mouse is a ventriloquist. He's doing it all. Eventually, we'll get to the point where we just tell the punchlines and everybody all... Then we'll get down to just numbers. Yeah. Let me try. 33. Nobody laughs. What happened? You told it wrong. Of course. From Arthur. Holy Mother Marjorie, patron saint of murderous treasonous frenzy. Bless our conspirators just as we sanction our deranged theories. Let us suggest overthrowing the government while we carry on our U.S. and while we carry our U.S. and Confederate flags while murdering the Pelosi blue defenders and their lasers of altruism. Bless us with your presence in our secret WP hand signal selfies. You are the most favored by our Trump Lord and walk by his side. Grant us enormous wisdom and deliver us from reason, decency, common sense, and our common bond as humans and people and patriots. That's what it sounds like, yeah. What if I started with the mascara thing? Jeremy in Vermont says, but if the mascara runs into your eyes and you cry real tears, some Bible sharp will get happy. Yes, you have to beat the trans people until they cry real tears. I'm sure James Dobson has said that on a number of occasions. As far as getting rained on, Lee says, this is what I tell people. Despite rumors to the contrary, I will not melt in the rain. Well, salt melts too, not just sugar. That's what I tell people. No, but since Joe Biden was in merry old Engeland, and based on a couple of things that have caused us no small amount of concern, we talked the other day about how Merrick Garland has said he will vigorously defend the rights of gospel-sharp colleges and universities to shit all over their LGBTQ QQIA plus student. Yeah. But I'm not there. It almost feels like, you know, we were being given lip. And there is a recent ruling out of Britain from their equalities watchdog. And it has to do with a horrible person by the name of Maya Forstater, or Forstatter. A lot of noise was made out of this case because horrible person Maya Forstater is a TERF. That stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. Oh, rats, the stream's gone south. Yep, deader than Pharaoh's cat. All right, we're back. Well, it's raining outside, so no wonder that we're buffering like hell. Okay. Hopefully we're back. No, as I was saying, over in England, there's this horrible human being by the name of, or horrible attempt at a human being, a TERF by the name of Maya Forstatter. And she took her dainty snowflake opinions to the London Employment Appeal Tribunal. They had a two-day hearing back in April, and she claimed that she was getting a sad because Britain actually has laws that say that you can't discriminate and harass anybody, basically. But she claimed that she was being harassed in her own right when she began harassing trans people, and especially attacking trans women. And so a Mr. Justice Chaudhry ruled on the matter and said that being a vulgar, hate-filled, miserable, shit-eating turf is protected status under religion or belief in the UK's 2010 Equality Act. You heard that right. Being a bigot, being a hate-filled bigot, is protected as a religion or belief in the UK as of yesterday. And, of course, they won't use the term now, TERF, because that gives the TERFs a sad when you refer to them by what they are, by their beliefs. No, they're gender critical. Yeah, they're the gender clan. But Justice Chaudhry said, we have come to the conclusion that it does meet the standard of a philosophical belief. But then Justice Chaudhry tried to make the ruling less odious and said, that does not mean, however, that those with gender-critical beliefs can be indiscriminately and gratuitously refer to trans persons in terms other than they would wish. Because what these miserable assholes do is they deadname trans people. Let's say there's a trans person who was Mark and transitioned and became Mary or Marcia. Well, TERFs will insist on deadnaming them and using masculine pronouns to continue to describe them, you know, just to be shitty and hurtful. Justice Chaudhry went on to say, such conduct could, depending on their circumstances, amount to harassment of or discrimination against a trans person. This is not going to slow the TERFs down one damn bit. If they were bad, if they were awful before, they will be worse now. And by the way, of course, the TERF movement has Nazis in it, right-wing, horrible people. Miserable, shitty people. And another tribunal will now hear whether or not her job contract with the Center for Global Development wasn't reviewed because of her being a shitty TERF. Over at Center for Global Development, the CEO, Amanda Glassman, said, the decision is disappointing and surprising because we believe Judge Taylor, who handed down the original ruling, got it right when he found this type of offensive speech causes harm to trans people and therefore could not be protected under the Equality Act. Today's decision is a step backwards for inclusivity and equality for all. We're currently considering the various paths forward with our lawyers. Meanwhile, the horrible person, this Maya Forstater, said,
I lost my job simply for expressing a view that is true and important and held by the great majority of people in this country. Sex matters. Being a woman is a material reality. It is not a costume of a feeling. Institutions that pretend sex doesn't matter become hostile places for women in particular.
Yeah. no one was silencing her. They were, people were asking her just not to be shitty to other human beings. But some people, and the white privilege that runs, it runs rampant through the god-awful turf community in England, and it has spread here. She had run her mouth at work about how much and thoroughly she despised trans people. And she ran crying to the, you know, to the tribunal. And she said she was discriminated against for holding gender-critical views. Yeah, she's got to dummy up some skeevy, dodgy language. To cover up the fact that, you know, it's just hate. That's all it is hate. Because she doesn't think that trans people deserve to exist. Mr. Justice Chaudhry, however, said he accepted her argument that she believed that it is not incompatible to recognize that human beings cannot change sex whilst also protecting the human rights of people who identify as transgender. No, those two things are mutually exclusive. You can't hate someone while you say you're protecting someone. And so the human rights community and the decent human being community in the UK has indeed taken a disgusting step backwards. Of course, you know, President Biden wasn't going to say anything about that. And now poor Justice Chaudhry is trying to backpedal for all he's worth.
Yesterday's judgment made clear this is not a victory to treat trans people any differently as rights-holding people from anyone else, and people must be clear about that.
Oh, that wasn't Justice Chaudhry. That was Human Rights Commissioner Baroness Kishwar Faulkner.
People who celebrate this ruling for bringing clarity must be clear that it is not a license to behave badly. So,
but what it boils down to is an employer can't fire somebody who turns out to be full of hatred. Under this ruling, a member of the Klan, if this were in the United States, but it's in Great Britain. Okay, let's make it a Nazi. A real live, no kidding Nazi would have to be protected in the workplace from being discharged
because of their philosophy or belief.
You know, for pity's sakes. Really. Never a dull moment. Let's wander over and get the conversation started in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves. See what's on folks' mind. Question coming from Randy Radar. You got to tell me how to still make the okay hand gesture without it becoming WP white power hand gesture. Well, that's easy enough. Give the okay gesture the same way that you ordinarily would. Why is this not coming through on? That's interesting. Didn't come the Skype call didn't come through on the iPad, which is strange and annoying. But Randy Radar, the okay gesture was always with the circle formed by the index finger and the thumb forward. It only becomes white power when you turn it around so that it then looks reading left to right. You do this with your right hand, reading left to right, WP. Okay? That's how you don't do that. Just make your circle with your index finger and your thumb as though you were looking through it like a telescope, and you're fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's go over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm fine.
Lovely day in the man cave.
It's an overcast, 81 degree day. It's been cool most of this week. Quite a relief from last week's triple digits.
Oof.
Must say. And we even got a little rain the other night.
How's Grady?
Grady went to the doctor, got a foxtail taken out of his foot. He's over here taking it easy, licking on it every once in a while. He's taking some medications, and I'm supposed to soak his foot once a day or twice a day.
I'm glad. Because he was feeling right poorly limping around last I recall.
Yeah, he was getting used to being a three-legged hopping dog. But now he's walking on it. Everything seems to be okay now. But the vet was kind of a weird experience. First time I'd taken him there in a long time. They make you sit outside the building. They got a shady area there you can sit. And you got to call, when you show up, you got to call, and they'll come out and get your dog. But they put him out for a while, so I ran and did some business. Then went and picked him up, and he was all drugged out. Kind of whined.
Aww. Poor boy. So he wasn't like, dude, you got any bacon? I got the munchies.
It's fine now.
No bandages or anything?
No. It's just up in the webbing between his toes, you know,
that hurts just thinking about it.
But they showed me with a foxtail that they pulled out.
Nasty piece of business.
Well, it was ugly looking and blood soaked, you know, and pussy, clear fluid around it, so it changed colors and looks. Anyway. Hopefully you won't get any more out there, but there's a place I got to try and weed eat off the dead stuff sticking up. There's a few foxtails in it, but it's all burnt brown. Had to walk out there and check on the cows here a few minutes ago, and looking out there by the fence, there's something green growing up out there. And I go, what the hell is that? It's a damn grapevine coming back.
Wow.
Killed off. And it,
real grapevine? Or
comes back up. It's a grapevine. I got growing in my, where my hedge, my hedge died from the drought.
Yeah.
I left the brush there, the dead brush there in the grapevines. They're just got there somehow and started growing, and enthralled all the dead stuff now.
Yeah. Does it produce grapes?
No. I don't think so. Although my neighbor does have some grapes on the other side of the fence. He's got everything over it. He's like got like a green thumb. You got corn, but this, geez, looks like it's 8 foot tall.
Nice.
And he's got orange trees and pomegranate. He's then got another pomegranate tree like mine.
How long does it take a pomegranate tree to reach the point where it will actually bear fruit?
Well, I couldn't tell you. Not that long, really, because I got sucker plants that come off of one of them that I got. And it grew some fruit, but it wasn't very big. Yep.
I've never seen them in action because they don't grow around here.
Well, the old tree I got, the pomegranates grow about the size of softballs.
Wow, yeah, that's nice. I wonder how pomegranates.
You don't ever see them in the store?
Oh no, I see them in the store. I've just never seen them in nature, you know, growing on the trees and stuff.
Oh.
No, I love them. I think they're fun.
Well, cicada stories. We don't have them out here.
No, I think it's an east of the Mississippi thing.
Yeah, my only experience with cicadas was in 2006 when I was at the Air Force Museum. They got a memorial grove outside the building where they've got all these monuments to past units. Stuff of the Air Force. But we walked out there and I heard this the noise and I go, what in the hell is that noise? And they go, cicadas. And then I heard that story the other day of the cicadas getting up in the APU on that press plane. They didn't get in the engines, they got in the APU. You know, a plane has to have that APU.
No.
You know what an APU is?
No. It's just agreeing.
It's an auxiliary power unit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So when the plane lands, it rolls to a stop, and they shut all the engines down, the APU starts up. And they run it while they're on the ground so they can have power on the airplane.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, I worked in KC-135s that had APUs.
Well, they do kind of get all over the place, the cicadas.
Did you see the radar track of them?
No. They were trackable?
Yeah, they should have a Doppler radar scope, you know, one revolution of the scope, and all this stuff's showing up and on it. And just like, you know, a little jillion airplanes, maybe it blips, but it was over Washington, D.C.
Jesus. It didn't happen to form a great big letter Q or anything, did it?
No, no. It's very colorful, though. I'll look and see if I can find the image. The Oregon contingency is here.
Oh, yeah.
Contingency is here.
Yeah, I see Chris in the room. What's happening, Chris?
You got to unmute.
Hold on. Yeah, sorry, I was muted. Hey, I'm doing great. Weather's kind of crappy here today. It's this week, just like Sparky was saying, it's a heck of a lot cooler than it was a week ago.
Well, this over here, it feels like it's gonna be a monsoon summer. It's been nothing but rain all week long.
Those are miserable. So I got to clean out the spa this weekend. That's my little project. And I started a community garden in the community next door to where I'm at, Gladstone. So we have a Gladstone garden plot together. And so we're doing some harvesting and meat and salad every day, which is good. You know, that's and we have a work party tomorrow. So we're going to go. A lot of us are going to gather there and do some cleanup, trimming around and things like that. So, yeah, things are good.
Nice. It looks like we got rain in the general forecast. Well, next week might be better. But it's going to be a sloppy weekend.
You plan to use an acorn at all this weekend?
I had thought about it because I got to, I haven't done ribs in a while, and they got some nice looking baby backs up at the Wiggling Pig, but I don't. Probably might do some ribs on Sunday. Can't not doing anything tomorrow because I'm going to be busy getting rained on at Pride.
Oh yeah. You have a very busy weekend, don't you? And that includes Monday. Give them hell.
Well, I mean, tomorrow's Beckley's Pride celebration. Oh, yeah, Monday, the march in Charleston. In fact, I was just, I just got a message with information on where it's going to start.
Have you met or talked to Reverend Barber before?
No, I have not.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, he's going to be busy. I don't know if you're going to be able to or not, but it'd be cool if you could.
I kind of doubt it, but if I can get somewhere that I've got decent access to the audio, maybe to one of the monitors, I can phone it into Agnes, and we can hear his remarks.
Cool. And I hope you get a lot of good pictures from Pride tomorrow too. Is that also in Beckley or is that in Fayetteville?
No, that's Beckley. Pride tomorrow is in Beckley, and then the march on Mansion is in Charleston.
Oh, of course, Charleston. Yeah, of course. Well, you know, it's been a million years since I've been out that way. River rafting in the Gauley. I think I told you about that before.
Yeah,
right?
you got to come back sometime.
Well, you know, if you do this now, the thing is, I know we were talking about Hornin in October, but now my cousin has stuff lined up, and now I'm going on a cruise for my birthday with my dad in November. So, were you talking about maybe trying to do 2022?
Yeah,
like that
I think that the first Saturday in June of 2022 is going to be the best.
I think that's a very good plan. That'll give some people to plan, save up cash, you know, figure out who's going to to go with.
Well, the nice thing about it is, you know, once you get here, accommodations will be taken care of.
That's great.
And there will be, unless you just want to go somewhere for food, there will be no need to buy food. And there will be entertainment as well.
Excellent. Yeah. I think we should all try to make an effort if we can.
And I'm sure my friends at Maggie's would be more than happy to accommodate the horn in.
Excellent. Well, we know Joey and Giraffe will be there.
Sure hope so.
Are they going to come down for Pride tomorrow? Or
no, I don't know.
Joey,
I kind of doubt that. Nothing's been said, but I do. I kind of doubt that.
Yeah. Well, I'll let others go ahead and talk. I mean, just waiting for the other shoe to drop, if it ever will, right? And you know, it's like this fucking bullshit kabuki dance. You know, maybe Joe is wising up and. Maybe he's just played this kabuki game all along, and he knows that to get anything done, they're going to have to ram it down their throats. And but with Mr. Manchin and Ms. Sinema, I don't know if you can make deals with them. I don't know. I don't know what their price is.
Well, the funny thing, at least where the For the People Act is concerned, you know, H.R. 1. The thing is, even Kyrsten Sinema signed off as a co-sponsor on that. It's just Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just Joe to break the – to at least carve out the civil rights exception in the filibuster. And I thought he was on board for turning it back into Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, you know, Jimmy Stewart-style filibuster. What the f*** with that? I don't understand why that's a problem.
Because his operating principle is delay, fail, Chris.
Yeah, you know. Well, he's owned and operated by Alec. We know that, right?
Yeah, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Apparently, that's where the sweet contribution came from this time through.
Yeah, there you go. So it's the grift. You know, he just plays the grift, and that's what cinema's doing, the same goddamn thing. Yeah. And meanwhile, we all sit and suffer. Sucks. All right, I'll let other folks talk.
All right.
I saw Steve join.
Yeah, jump in anytime, Chris. And I just had a note from Tracy, who not Tracy, formerly the cab driver. No, this is Tracy, who identifies herself as Kevin's other half. This is our pal Kevin in Massachusetts. With a report on the Old Bay hot sauce, it's 100, 100, 100. I can see it on pizza, chicken, wings, shrimp, shoe leather, eggs, you name it. This guy's great on shoe leather.
Shoe leather.
Yeah. Tracy says, it hits. I'm glad you mentioned it. I love it. I love it when that happens. And I'm crazy about the stuff, too. The guy that runs the Wiggling Pig up there, up the road from me. I told him about it. He told me today he'll have it in, because it's easier than driving all the way to Summersville for it. He'll have it for me. Have it for me on Tuesday, and I'm going to lay in a stock. I feel about this in the way I felt about the Trader Joe's yuzu sauce. This is just something you don't want to run out of. And the other day,
hey, did you use up all the pico fruta from Penzi's already?
Damn near. Yeah, I think there's maybe a quarter inch still in the bottom of the jar. That stuff is so good.
Man alive.
And the sandwich sprinkle is magic. So I was up at the Wiggling Pig, and they do, in the deli, in the cold case back there, they do deviled eggs. Little trays of six. And frankly, and it probably has to do with taste buds around here, but they're kind of bland.
Oh, yeah.
But I realized...
Just a regular old paprika, not even smoked? Eh.
Yeah, and just not a lot of flavor in the stuffing. But I had one of those little flashes of inspiration. And so I took it home, and I got that kick-ass M-A-I-L-L-E French mustard. And I put a dollop of that on top. And then I got the Old Bay hot sauce and gave it a liberal dousing with that. And suddenly it was a really, really good deviled egg.
That's great.
And I don't feel too bad about those because there's hardly any carbs. And it's a great big whopping loading dose of protein.
And they fill you up real fast.
Yeah, they do. And anytime I've got one of those trays of deviled eggs, I always think of Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke. I can eat 50 eggs. I can eat 50 eggs.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Steve, what are you doing, man? Steve from New York? I thought I saw him join.
Me?
Yeah, there
he
is.
Yes, you.
I'm on a crusade. To wean Robin off the goddamn passive voice.
Yeah, but see, and the
stupid lawyer and/or convention, because it doesn't fucking mean anything. Excuse me.
I don't understand that.
And
explain that one.
And/or doesn't mean anything.
doesn't mean anything. It actually creates ambiguity, but people who don't know anything about logic don't know that. So I'm here to teach. There are actually courts who will refuse, who will send back briefs if you use that. It's sloppy, it's horrible, and I hate it, and I'm right. Period.
And you hate it forever. And you hate it forever.
It can't be and or.
People say lawyers use that bullshit all the time. X and or Y. And nobody can tell me what it actually means.
Okay, are you also angry at including but not limited to?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
There's so much garbage language in the law.
How
about this one? I heard this one.
No. Let me give you a perfect example, then I'll shut up. When I'll get something that somebody says. It's in litigation. It's a discovery demand, and the discovery demand, for people who don't know, is your adversary sends you sends you something saying we want X, and they will say, give us all of X, and then they'll say including. But and I'm thinking, well, what the fuck is not included in all?
Right.
So I say things like, give me all your shit.
Yeah. The whole world
and
in
then,
your
but,
hand.
But then they'll turn around and litigate all.
Let them fucking litigate all. Go in front of a goddamn judge and say, okay, judge, you tell me what all means.
Here's another one. How about this?
Wait.
Go ahead.
Here's my thing about and/or. If I say, give me X and or Y, there are that... people who don't think and who don't actually know logic will say, I don't know what they'll say. But what that actually means is, well, first of all, the term and means, you know, in that case means both. The term or means, this is logic now. Too many lawyers don't know what that means. They think it means only one or the other. It doesn't. Or means... One or the other, or both.
So, or encapsulates and or.
Yes! If you want both of something, you say and. And let me tell you where that's the worst of it is. When you have a contract, okay? And this is where it's really meaningful, is in a contract. When someone says, when conditions X and or Y are met, when A meets conditions X and or Y, B gets paid. Okay, when does B get paid? When both are met, when one are met, and who gets to choose?
Yeah, that's ambiguous language. I always think of the difference between and or in terms of like car titles and bank accounts. Because there's all the difference in the world between A and B as owner of a vehicle on the title versus A or B as co-owners
but again,
on the title.
If you know logic, and I'm talking, see, I'm a numbers guy. I was a math guy. I know that or doesn't mean only, it's too many lawyers, too many people who don't know math and who don't know logic. Think
philosophy,
or,
yeah, right.
Not philosophy. I'm not
well,
philosophy.
Philosophy. When I took logic, it was part of the philosophy department.
Yes.
But I'm talking. I'm not talking rhetorical logic. I'm talking right there. Whoever put that there, exactly. It means one or both in math. Or X or Y in math doesn't mean only X or Y. It means X or Y or both. If you want to.
Ooh, now that makes my brain hurt. But you. You got a note from Megan, who said, "Damn, okay. Steve, breathe in some lavender or take a Valium. Dictionary crap ups aren't worth brain aneurysms."
Oh, they are, because that's my job. My job is to draft things that are understandable.
Okay, but I want to go back to the passive voice here because I'm right.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
I love you, but you're not.
Yeah, I transitioned to female, and suddenly I'm fucking wrong all the time.
No, I didn't say. Now hold on. Now, isn't that always the case with women?
Oh, here we go. Hey, can I say one quick thing?
Sure.
Just another example of what you're talking about. In my field, right, there's escalation things. So if some shit goes wrong, goes sideways, who do you call? Right? And when you're writing this is it's put as now call the point person immediately or almost immediately. And like and it's it, what does that mean? Can you figure that one out? Can you tell me?
That's like
immediately. Saying, you must call immediately or almost immediately.
What the fuck is almost immediately?
I don't know.
I think it's a recognition that there's an interval of time between the message reception and the calling. That's almost immediately.
Or maybe it's kind of one of those things where this is important but not urgent.
If you're scratching your ass, finish that up first before you immediately call, right?
But why not?
But then it won't be immediately.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Well, okay. So here's a good example. Scott just asked, "How much I owe you, Miss?" And so I can reply that Scott's challenge was answered almost immediately by Charlene in Rogues Island.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But when does...
Because that takes into account the latency of the internet.
But are we really... Okay.
You started this.
No, but yeah. It's all about precision.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because almost immediately is not very precise.
No. Soon as you can.
Yeah.
As soon as possible.
It'd be like a year now. Fuck it. That was almost immediate.
Very nearly. But yeah. I remember... Steve, I remember one of my property classes, there was a little tome, and I can't remember what it was about, but it was a horn book, but it wasn't a half inch thick. But it was written by these Harvard types who said that they had actually gone to the math department to find out what a scintilla euris is.
Oh, God.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
No. And the math department threw the lawyers out. Get out! Get out! Get away! It's undemocratic, too. The tiniest possible instant of time contemplable by the law, a scintilla euris.
That's what that is. Okay.
And the math, absolute and the, fucking and, meaningless.
And the mathematicians hated them for it.
What's in New York?
It's nice. It was, I don't know. It was 19 here today, which is nice.
19 Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Yeah,
You are moving to Canada, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting prepared for Celsius.
Okay. Well, that's good first step.
Although Canada is a weird place, Canada is a place you go. I had this discussion with my partner tonight about talk about how many. When you want to know the mileage of a car, you ask. Well, you say what is its mileage, even though it's in kilometers. However, the way they express it is, how is it 100? How many liters per 100 kilometers does it burn? So it's or they use, sometimes they'll have pounds, sometimes they use miles. It just all some of it also depends on which province you're in. If you're in the real the real American Canadian provinces out in the Western provinces, you still use miles and pounds and shit like that.
Canadian mounted maggot country out there, you mean?
Yeah, that's why I call them the real American Canadians.
Exactly. Marveline.
Marveline. Not Marveline, but Marveline.
Marveline.
Marveline and Emery?
Right. Hey, I got a question for you. In Canada, in Canoodlia, Well, one quick question. Are you allowed to fill up your own tank with gas, or must you have the attendant do it?
No, you don't know. No.
Huh?
That's only in New Jersey.
Oregon.
Really? That's stupid.
Hell yeah. Don't you dare get the fuck out of your car. Yeah.
Robin was going to correct me on the non-active voice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I interrupted that. Go ahead. What's this all about?
I was bumming out earlier because I was supposed to have a consult with a doctor by phone earlier today. And so I was up all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning, and the call never came through. And I got severely bummed out because I've been waiting for this call for over a month. And so I posted on Facebook, that I was blown off by the doc. Don't be filthy, okay? Quit it. Jesus,
Robin,
Chris.
I didn't even go that far.
I know. And so,
Steve, you didn't? You know,
Steve jumps in there and
Chris,
starts giving
Chris's
me.
Mind's always in the gutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just put up something saying I was, significantly bummed out by it. And Steve jumps my ass over using the passive voice. He wanted me to say the doctor blew me off. But I used the... Stop it! You're still chuckling.
I'm trying not to.
Filthy
freak.
I'm like
Senator... Who was it that was trying not to laugh when Kamala was interrogating the Jabba the Frog?
I explained to Steve that I used the passive voice deliberately because it may not have been an active situation. The doc didn't look at my name and go, ah, fuck her, I'm not gonna, don't, I'm not gonna make the call. It was passive negligence because there was an administrative error.
Then you know what you do. Then you say that correct. Then you say that.
I didn't know that at the time. I only found that out about 15 minutes before air.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't.
I'm sorry you're wrong too in this instance.
I am so anti-passive voice.
I generally am as well.
Steve, my recommendation would be the next time someone tries to blow you off, don't call them out on their grammar.
Because then they might.
I'm not going to say anything.
Because then they might stop. Just quit it, Chris.
I know. I learned enough in the past 30 seconds to realize that there's some things you just don't respond to.
It's not about the cat.
Not about the cat. So, has anybody ever seen the British comedy Mrs. Brown's Boys?
No.
Oh.
Jesus. You all waste your brain and time on Monty Python when you could be watching something funny.
I'm watching the Cubs right now.
You're watching what?
The Cubs.
The who?
The Cubs.
The Cubbies.
No, I couldn't hear because it
the Cubbies.
Kept breaking
the
up. Cubs.
Hey, your Reds are coming up fast, man. They're only five out.
Yeah, they just lost 2 of 3 to Milwaukee. If the Reds had, and Robin, am I wrong about this or right? If they had a decent bullpen, they would be it right in the thick of it. Their bullpen is absolutely horrible. They got a pretty good starting rotation, and their offense, I don't know if anybody has seen, Jesse Winker. I think he might be a rookie in Castellanos. I did the math. Castellanos has been hitting .405 over the last 30 days.
God, that doesn't sound like a porn name. Jesse Winker? Is that what you said?
Jesus.
Shit, man, I saw him in a movie last night.
Winker, not wanker.
Ouch, it's a wow wow.
Yeah, no kidding. And, hey, is anybody on this call ever at Studio 54?
Shit.
No,
no.
Once upon a time there were people who were.
Yeah, I had a very good friend of mine. Well, Studio 54 was still going in the 80s.
I guess so. That's when Pumpkinhead made his appearances there, right?
I don't, you know, on the other hand, though, the real good times apparently were in the 70s. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm
true. I think that's very true.
I was never there. I had a good friend of mine who was there.
You had a good friend?
What?
Nothing. I was being an asshole.
So I heard that. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you something. You just watch yourself. You just watch yourself.
Missy.
Robin, the 70s was party all the time, right? Am I wrong?
Exactly.
Listen here. I'm going to tell you something.
This good time was in the 60s.
60s also? Well, Roger, you were in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
You were telling me that. And you never went to bother. You said you never bothered to go to any of the shows, any of the venues.
Nope.
Jesus. What I would have done, man. That's, for me, that's the sweet spot in rock and roll music for me.
What, like the Fillmore West?
Late 60s, early 70s.
Did get called in to take care of some people having bad acid trips, but...
Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
Believe it, I'm serious. I have never actually done any drugs, so...
Oh, I was a straight man in 72. Well, two of my Air Force buddies dropped some acid, and we went and saw the Allman Brothers in the Memorial Auditorium in Sacramento.
Oh, that must have been a hell of a show.
Sparky, well, you need to write a fucking book, because you have a lot of really cool experiences with, like, classic bands and drugs and all that stuff. You need to write a book.
And the Vietnam stories.
Yeah, you need to write an I Was There book. You do. Robin, well,
I did have an experience this week, brought back something.
Uh-oh.
My wife was in the hospital.
Oh, jeez.
And she had a nurse who was from Thailand. So I did the Sawadee cup thing to her, and she turns around and looks at me, and she goes, "Oh, that's right. Your wife said you were over there." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, you know where Utapau is?" And she says, "Yeah, I know where Utapau is. Near that Patio Beach area."
Your wife's okay, right?
Yeah, she's home.
Okay.
Oh, good. How long did she have to be in there, Sparky?
Went in Monday night. Stayed the day Tuesday. Went in Tuesday, stayed Wednesday. I picked her up yesterday, along with taking Grady to the doctor, having Mason, my minion, over here helping me doing stuff. And
oh, his name is Mason? Day.
Yeah.
That's my cat's name, my one-eyed cat.
I haven't seen him in over a year, almost a year.
Oh, that's right.
And he come over to help me do some stuff. I thought I might need him to help me get Grady in the car, because Grady weighs 78 pounds.
Yeah.
And I kind of had
boy.
Yeah. Leaving the vet, I kind of had to pull him up and then try to shove him in the car, because he wouldn't jump in there after that.
Hmm. Man, that must have really hurt, though. But I mean, to have a foxtail in your paw?
Better than in your ear.
Is it? You don't walk on your ear.
No, dogs get them in their ears, too.
Oh, no, I know.
You know, Inga's ears have been bothering her. Maybe she's got some kind of burr or something stuck. Because I've got crap in the yard, like blackberry bushes, and, you know, those things are sharp as hell. And maybe she caught herself.
Is she shaking her head a lot?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm, go get it checked. Those are the foxtail symptoms.
Okay.
Those are the something in the ear symptoms.
Yeah, I've got some. I put, you know, they give you that wash, the ear wash, mm-hmm. And so it says to use that like once every 2 weeks, but maybe she's due for that. Yeah. Maybe I'll try that first.
Yeah. Time to call the guy.
Call the guy.
Where's Steve?
I was wondering that. Where the hell is he?
He should be coming in because we spent a lot of time, was it Wednesday or Thursday, in the regular chat room talking about solar stuff and kind of set it up that on the back porch we'd go through a whole solar electric, solar hot water type discussion. And he said he'd be here, so he should show up unless Windows 10 kicked his ass on the latest update.
Yeah. So, Roger, you have – I don't think you showed me that whole setup. I didn't really get a good chance to really see your garden. Next time I come down there, is that all solar?
The solar panels are on the front of that – on the roof of the front part of the house. The garden, you saw the whole garden.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. What you're going to do with those peas is just crazy.
Oh, the beans?
Oh, the beans, sorry. The beans, yeah.
Okay, sounds like there's some food porn in the works here. Let's have
it. There's a whiff in the air.
Let's have it.
Well, the beans I grow are some seed that I selectively harvest seeds for over 30 years for height and aphid resistance. And then I was just beginning to get up to the longer pods and was only saving seeds from pods that had either 6 seeds or 7 seeds in them. And then I left the farm, so I finished that. It just finished off. But my bean strings are on a trellis held up by pipes screwed together, and it's about 20 feet tall, and the beans will go to the top of that 20 feet in one season.
Jesus, dude, you're like the real fucking deal. You're like the Jim Crockett. Remember Jim Crockett? I think it was Crockett's Victory Garden was a show on PBS a million years ago.
I might be able to find a picture. I'll scrounge around and see if I can find a picture of me standing on the ladder next to the barn picking beans.
See, Roger's really trying to go up to the giant to steal the golden goose. That's really what he's trying to do.
But Roger, you're like the real fucking deal, man. Not just planting them, but harvesting your own seeds in order to make... I mean, that's some shit. I'm impressed.
It's just entertainment.
You'd be impressed if you went to the man cave, to Roger's man cave. It's impressive. I enjoyed myself immensely. A cooler beer doesn't hurt any at all.
No, a cooler beer is always good.
I'm trying to quit. I've been drinking too much. I've just been too much. Just too much.
I know.
Speaking of beer, however, this COVID bullshit has clearly caused me to gain some weight. So there's a Western Wear store down in Cottage Grove. So I stopped in, and then I turned around when I saw the Trump-Pence sign still there. I just walked out.
Good call.
So
you should have gone pissed on it.
Look, I can't piss that high up on the wall.
I like that anymore. Yeah.
That could be an Olympic event.
Man, you're a weirdo, Chris.
I had a run-in with a Trump supporter this week, kind of.
Oh lovely.
I was going to cash in my cans at the recycle place. And everybody backs up so you can unload and then pull away. I was backing up to get in the spot, and this gal comes in with this big old pickup, pulls right in into the spot I was trying to back into because I was away from it. And she just whipped right in there. And she had a big Trump sticker on the back of her truck. And then she backed out. I said, I was waiting for that spot when you came roaring in here. And she goes, I didn't see you. And I said, I was backing up into it. And then I get parked out of my car, and then the guy at the recycle goes, we can't serve you because we're almost out of money. So I had to go back the next day. And I went back at another 12 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock.
They can fuck you at the recycle center, Sparky. It happened to me. I got there. It closes at 6 p.m. We got there at 4:30, and we were next in line, and they just abruptly closed. Come back tomorrow. Fuck. Hour and a half in line.
Well, this place
loads of bottles and cans.
It's called Bigfoot Recycling, and they pay you in cash, but they never pay you in $20 bills. It's either fives or tens.
Oh, really?
So I had like $67 worth of cans, and they
Sparky.
Well, I crush them. I mean, it takes about 6 months to get to that.
Oh, they take them crushed. You know, at this center here, you cannot crush them. You have to run them through the conveyor belt, and so they won't accept crushed cans. They have to be intact.
I've got a homemade can crusher.
Yeah.
Chris is right. When I first got up here, I did my usual thing with the 30-gallon garbage can and sort of accordion folded them, you know, crushed them over. Went to the recycle center with this 30-gallon garbage can full of cans, and they went, nope, can't take them. They got to be uncrushed.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, shit. So the next time I went down to California, I turned them in California because they'll take them crushed. But then every time I've gone down to California since, I've made sure I buy some beer down in California, and whatever beer I drink down there, I bring the cans back up here and turn them in up here.
Yes.
Anyhow, I posted a picture, not the one I was really looking for, but give you an idea. The eaves of the barn there in that center picture is 22 feet from the ground at the top. And that was several years ago. And the one on the far right, those irrigation pipes that are standing up, are 20 feet tall.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mr. Beanstalk guy. So, hey, Roger, what do you know about the story that Robin – I guess Robin pretty much told the whole story, but so the one maggot actually did get expelled, like, and the other Republicans?
Yeah, Mike Nierman,
They had to.
He was at a meeting a few days before the invasion of this Capitol building in Salem, he's recorded. By giving out his phone number, and he in the little talk that I listened to, I'm not telling you exactly whose this phone number is, but this is a phone number just like the one you want to call, and if you call this number, somebody just might come out the door, and all of a sudden you'd be able to hold the door open and come into the Capitol and do whatever the hell you want. And sure enough, a few days later, so he walked out this door, and the crowd was out there waiting, and they came in, and they got thrown out by the Capitol security. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, he's on videotape telling them what to do and then doing what he said would happen. And, I mean, it's pure and simple. I want to know why he's not in fucking jail.
Yes, absolutely. And do I dare ask the question, were they wearing masks?
Why would you ask?
Robin, yeah. You saw, I must have seen the video of him coming into the Capitol building.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I don't recall seeing him masked up.
No.
I don't know.
There were no, those are maggots. They don't wear masks.
Well, but speaking of masks, now the one thing that's kind of pissing me off is if I choose to wear my mask going to Costco or walking up the street or going to Safeway, basically my mask is telling people that I have not been vaccinated, because it were on our honor that if you've not been vaccinated, you should wear a mask. But if you have been vaccinated, you can go maskless. So if I wear a mask out of safety precaution, even though I've been vaccinated, I'm basically advertising to people that I'm this dumb old fuck that didn't get a vaccine, so I continue to wear a mask.
Well, I get that kind of, but don't you wear a mask because you could still if Maskless Maggot, if you go in maskless to a store, Maskless Maggot gives you the COVID, you could still carry. Couldn't you still carry the virus?
Yeah, you're
wearing,
even if you're
transmit them.
Right, even if you're vaccinated, you're wearing the mask out of respect for others.
Yeah, right. And then you go to the next store, and you could transmit it, or to someone who's more susceptible. Right? Isn't that true? That's why we still wear masks in the stores, because we have to assume we got Maskless Maggot on the other, you know, right next to us.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons people are wearing masks. You know, one of them is, you know, all the people who've been wearing masks, how many of them have had the flu or a cold this year?
Zero.
Yeah, it just makes sense. If you're walking into anywhere where there's a lot of people, whether it's Lowe's, the Home Depot, Kroger's, Wally World, Costco, it's just smart. I mean, our flu numbers went through the floor in 2020.
Yeah, didn't I hear like 2,500 cases, which is ridiculously low?
No. It was like 2,500 deaths previously and two this year.
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe I'm thinking cases. I don't yeah.
But a mask is no different than a yellow star, David.
It's yeah. It's a fake diaper. I mean, it's a face diaper. Them's fake boobs. It's a face diaper.
Yeah. Them's fake masks. Yeah.
And the nerve of Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball to refer to Nancy Pelosi as Speaker Mask Hole.
Yeah, right. And her calling out other people as a member of a cult. Ha! Really? Really, gonorrhea girl? Really?
Yeah, projection Patty.
Unreal.
I've got a movie review.
Yeah?
Cool.
American Traitor, The Trial of Axis Annie. With Al Pacino in the starring role as the lawyer that represents her. I liked it. That's all I got to say. I don't want to do any spoilers, but
if you what's know it this, on, Sparky? Hulu or Netflix or what?
No, it's on my.
Oh, you watch, don't know.
Watch movie channels. You know, locker.
Don't worry about spoilers. I mean, God, Robin already ruined Contact for all of us.
Oh, shut up!
I can't remember the person's name, but anyway, she got caught up in Germany in 1933 and was not able to get out. She's an American citizen, and they made her a propagandist. On the radio. And she was an actress and a singer.
They made her into the Ann Coulter of the Reich.
Yeah, Reich. Like you heard of Tokyo Rose.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the same thing, but she was Axis Sally.
Mm.
Yeah, working alongside Lord Haw Haw.
But but the one thing that she did do is she gave updates on prisoners that were wounded and that were in Germany, you know, American prisoners and how they were and all this stuff. A lot of people back home listened to her on the radio, I guess. But anyway, she was being charged for treason. And the ultimate penalty was to be hanged, but she didn't get hung. She got off. It was only in like 13 years or something like that.
So Axis Sally, not to be confused with Mustang Sally, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, you're really on a roll tonight, Chris.
Al Pacino, as a courtroom lawyer, you know, defense lawyer for somebody like that. I mean, he was excellent. Who's making all the noise?
Somebody's making a burrito in the microwave or something, I think. That's what it sounds like. Sounds like the Jetsons make dinner.
No, I'm just working, sorry.
Oh, okay. It's Jeremy.
I figured it was a slice of gas station pizza.
Yes. That's what Rodman always had every night after the show. I remember those stories.
Oh, from 5 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Yep, gas station pizza. But
time
see, I don't
go ahead.
It's not bad, but I don't go there anymore because that's the same place where the guy with the tobacco crumb covered tongue stuck in and then coughed in my face.
Yeah, that was one of the most disgusting Robin stories I think I ever heard. That almost made me gag when you were told that the first time.
And I mean, I'm sticking to my guns on this one. I have not set foot in there since and won't.
Fuck that place.
I mean, I got sent out for errands. Hey. I got sent out on an errand last night after the program. Drove all the way across the river. And it would have been, I could have just gone up the road to there and turned around and come home. Mm-mm, no. No, damn it. No. So there's a Shell convenience store 2 miles down the road that I won't go in because every time I the reign of the Kenyan Muslim usurper, I couldn't go in there without hearing some piece of racist goddamn filth.
In the before times.
Yes, in the before times, exactly. And so that went off my list, and then this place. So I go across the river. And it turns a 20-minute jaunt into an hour, but you got to have some principles somewhere along the way. And I guess that's the hill that I'm gonna fight on.
You know, Waller World is really close for me. I could really make my life very, very simple and probably less expensive if I just go there for everything. But no.
Well, now that we're a national park here, maybe at some point in time we will merit a Trader Joe's and a Costco. I want a Costco so damn bad. And a Trader Joe's.
Do you know in New York City there is no Walmart?
Oh no, yeah.
They won't let them. They try to get them in here, but they won't let them in.
And somehow Gotham stumbles on.
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge Costco fan too, and I think for similar reasons that you like them is I like how they treat their employees.
Right.
Yes.
Well, see,
$20 an hour minimum, I do believe.
And union.
And they get. Yeah. I don't even know if the one up near me is unionized, but I know their health care. They pay 93% of their healthcare premium.
That's incredible.
For retail? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and see, Walmart has a horrible revolving door policy. They can't keep people working. But at Costco, if you get their employee retention is crazy high.
Robin, I'm going to tell you something. I lived in that neighborhood when they built that, and that was probably 2012. It may have been even before that. And I go there even now still for certain things, even though it's very far from me. And there are people working there now that were working there then who probably started out as, the guys and gals who were, sweeping the floors and shit, and they're now the managers and the I see it's the same, a lot of the same people.
Or the receipt swipers, right, with the highlighter? I don't know if that's where you start. That would be where I'd...
Robin?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is Gary from Illinois.
Hey, Gary.
And,
hi, Gary.
My best friend, I graduated high school with him. We both ended up in a little town called Wiley, Texas. He works at a Costco there, and we figured out how come he got so much more than the guys who worked for Sam's Club was that the guys who own Costco are millionaires. The guys who own Sam's Clubs are billionaires.
Yep. Ding.
That's how it works. Hey, Steve, who's going to be near your next mayor?
I don't give a flying fuck.
Are you paying any attention?
I don't listen. I'm almost to the point of just not even voting because it's the same fucking people every single time. All that, it's just a revolving. Okay, X is term limited out of being the public advocate. Well, he's going to run for borough president. Well, when he's term limited out of borough president, then he runs for mayor, and then when he's out of that, he'll run for city council again. I just get sick. It's the same fucking people. I have a very simple. I have a very simple provision. I wish somebody would. Adopt, nobody ever will, and if I ever tell them, that, if I ever were to ask them about it, they'd think I was a crazy person, is I think there ought to be a moratorium on parking tickets, and they ought to forgive all parking tickets, because it's just disgusting how bad the city is with that, and it really disproportionately impacts poor and working class people.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys got cameras out there? The red light cameras?
Yes.
You do? Yeah, when Ron put those in Chicago, what a fucking scam that was. Ridiculous.
There was a town out in Long Island. They had cameras to monitor a school zone. Well, the problem was they weren't in a school zone, but they were giving tickets to people who were going faster than you're supposed to go in a school zone. And finally, it got so bad that they basically took it out. But look, those things are nothing. That, you know, this notion of, you know, it's some sort of, it has nothing to do with the law. It has everything to do with, you know, the city council not having the balls or guts or whatever to actually raise taxes when they want more money from the citizens of the city, so they can hide behind the administrative shit of the of New York of the Department of Finance, which does parking tickets. You know, they let a bunch, and I know I'm sounding libertarian here, I don't mean to, they let a bunch of fucking bureaucrats, you know, essentially tax the citizens to the tune of, I think it's $700 or $800 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, I found out the amount of money that the NYPD spends on settlements every year, it's about the same as the parking ticket take.
Yeah, and in Chicago, when they went to those cameras, they contracted out to a private company.
Yeah, and, Australia, I do believe.
Yeah, an Australian company. And the yellow lights went from like 8 seconds to 2 seconds.
Exactly. Exactly right. And it caused more accidents.
Oh, what a dodge.
The Tribune. Yeah, the Tribune did a whole like 5-day expose and all the data that came out of it. Everywhere they put those cameras in, accidents spiked throughout the entire city. It was a fucking disaster. And then the parking meters too. He privatized that, and a whole bunch of that money went off to some subsidiary in Dubai.
Because it's not about anything law. It's a backdoor tax increase.
That's why a buddy of mine refers to the cops as tax collectors in funny hats.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. And here's what some
Missouri.
You'll appreciate this, Robin, and if Rick's listening, I've seen people make the argument that they should be unconstitutional because it doesn't give you have a right to confront your accuser, and when your accuser's a machine, you don't get to confront them. I get this shit. I actually made that argument because I got one, and they said to me that it was not a criminal matter. But when you look at the goddamn ticket, it says if you just want to pay it, you plead guilty. And I'm like, well, if that's not a criminal matter, then what the fuck does guilty mean there? You just get to the point where it's like, you know what?
They hate it when you catch them like that. By the way, we are into the third hour of the program, and I want to thank everybody who has helped out trying to close the gap on funding this week. We are down to, 445. 445 thanks to Thanks to George. Thank you, George, for taking us down to 445. Thanks to Scott in Wisconsin for his challenge that was answered by Charlene. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to Rico and to Berg. Thank you to Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. We've made substantial progress, and God, it would be wonderful to have this turn into a full-on community-made miracle for the first full week of June, because I would turn around and then pay bills so we can make sure we have a July.
Oh, I hear the boys.
Yep, that's yeah. Socks. That's Caesar Socks.
Hey, Robin?
Yeah.
I posted a picture of Marissa Woods. She's running to unseat Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, that'd be so great.
I wonder what you think about her hairstyle. That was the first thing that popped out on me when I
saw. I love her. She's awesome. I desperately need bangs.
Hey, Steve, I'm just wondering if Mayor Yang is going to end up giving you guys a UBI or a UTI.
Oh, he's got to win first, and that ain't happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have we have ranked choice voting coming up. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. That's pretty exciting.
I guess.
Going back to the ticketing cameras for a second, it's even more fun when you go on a road, say in Massachusetts, where it was used to be a publicly owned road, and they turn it into a privately owned road, and they put up tolls along the way, not warning you. And it takes a snap of your license plate and sends you a ticket for every toll you pass through.
God, these fuckers. They're horrible. They're horrible people.
Is that a ticket or just like the Golden Gate Bridge now, where they don't collect any money and they take a picture of your license plate and send it to the registered owner saying you owe us a toll for crossing the bridge?
It's what you said, Roger, but they didn't warn us. I mean, it just happened over the course of the years. We used to take vacations down there, and one year we get home, and we get, like, my girlfriend at the time got, like, three or four of those, you know, fees in the mail for, like, $40 a pass through a camera saying, you used our road. Every stop you made, you owe us this.
God, they're horrible people.
Well, I don't think
they need a spot next to
privatized. I'm pissed off in D.C. that, you know, there'll be a freeway. And then there's the lanes that are toll lanes if you want to go faster. So it's just another way of picking on the poor people.
Yeah, totally.
Right, so it's
100 times faster than the human eye. So if you go through a yellow to clear the intersection normally like you would, it'll snap you if you're red halfway through, even if it was yellow when you pass into it.
Well, technically, I believe the yellow light is to tell you to stop because it's about to turn red. So if you run through the intersection, enter the intersection on a yellow, I mean, I agree, we all do it, but their argument is that was unsafe, you should have stopped.
Oh, hey, Robin,
I'm going 40 miles an hour, well, you're going too fast.
Technically, the yellow means proceed with caution.
Right.
Also means clear the intersection.
Yeah. It doesn't mean speed the fuck up. And, you know.
It means stop if possible.
Yeah, I mean, if you're fully committed, you go on. You don't jump on your brakes and, you know, cause a pileup. No.
Cause another accident. Huh. Right.
Somebody called my
name.
Hey,
Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robin, can you give us a status update, please, on the magnificent Flush Flumball, please?
He has been sober for quite some time now, and absolutely not doing any opioids whatsoever. He also isn't talking
to
any horses.
Did a toxicology test on him?
No, and
he's doing pineapples now.
Yeah, he's well, you know, pineapple has healing qualities. I have found that out. Back before my oral surgery, I was told to eat lots of fresh pineapple because it promotes healing. As far as I can tell, it did. But no, he's getting plenty of pineapple, but I think they're not peeling it, and he is in fact still dead.
And you know, he's completely oxygen-free.
But the real question is it the pointy end or is it the dull end?
Well, that's why they call it the reverse pineapple. And yes, and, you're absolutely right, there, Steve. He is oxygen-free.
Are they making a room for him for his new roommate, soon to be roommate, Mr. Wiles?
Haven't had an update on him. He may yeah. I don't know. He may be off the oxygen. Somehow he managed to fend off the horizontal crucifixion. It would have made him feel ever so much more Christ-like, I'm sure, though. And, you know,
I think he's.
What about one hit wonder Ted Nugent?
I think he's getting haunted by Herman Cain.
999. Shame on me.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Just say, I haven't heard much about one-hit wonder Ted Nugent either.
Oh yeah. Oh, didn't
you mean COVID scratch fever? Yeah.
COVID scratch fever.
Oh, did you guys see?
Well, no,
did you guys?
Ironic, a guy whose one hit was Stranglehold is suffering from lack of oxygen. Come on.
Yes.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, that's a cowbell. Oh, and we didn't hear from Joey and Giraffe this evening. I wonder where they are. There was a story, I think it was toward the end of the week last week, and it was just too funny. You remember Milo Yiannopoulos?
Oh, God. Yes.
Well, he is apparently showing up on right-wing religion industry grift programs now.
Is this the dog story?
Yep. Because Milo Yiannopoulos is now ex-gay. And he said dogs stopped barking at him when he stopped being gay. Wasn't that the gist of it, Steve?
Ex-gay people usually end up, how should I say this, miserable or dead.
Or
did you see his hair?
Again.
Did you see his hair in that clip, Steve? Or Robin? No.
Yes, I did.
Did you see the clip? Did you hear it? Yeah. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, the hair just proves he's ex-gay now. I mean, he's given up all of his product.
What happened? Is it like floppy, or is it parted on one side, or what is it?
It's kind of a modern modified bozo, only with a little bit of bleach.
Jesus Christ!
You know, have you ever seen the movies where Trey Parker, he like in the Mormon movies or even in baseball, his hairstyle, like exaggerate the fuck out of that hairstyle, and that's exactly what it looked like.
Who's Trey Parker?
From the South Park guys.
Oh, I've never.
He's the blonde guy, I think. For sure.
But can I just, Robin? Isn't it amazing what people will do for money?
Yeah, you hit ding, 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 cowbell for that, Steve. Because
no.
Grifting. All of it is grifting. The whole fucking mess.
He just strikes me. It's like it's Candace Owens and Coleon Moore, or whatever the hell that
Coleon Noir.
Coleon Noir.
Yeah. You know.
Don't get me started on Candace Owens and all the fucking moron white people going, yeah, all black people should be like her. Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I want to.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stop talking now.
Yeah, it makes you want to scream.
It just makes me.
Or Dan Bongino, the evil doppelganger of
Dan Bon Jovi.
I wish he and Geraldo had actually come to blows.
Hey, we said we weren't going to do any more of the sex talk tonight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, okay. You may tell you what, you can get your damn ass out of the gutter yourself, okay? I meant fight.
You already broke that when you talked about rushing his pineapple new addiction. That's already been broken, so you can go right ahead.
Yeah, and from the very beginning with Chris and his...
I still haven't gotten a now see here, Missy, and I'm still waiting for that.
Them's fake buns.
Did you see my thing that I sent you about?
No, I have not seen your thing. Now quit that.
You know what?
Oh, Agnes just said, don't make me come in there.
Yeah, I was just...
Here we go.
But the email I sent you about the mark of the beast, the cicadas.
Yes, yes, 616.
I don't know if you read it, because I went away for a bit. 616. I mean, we all know 616 is the original 666, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that. Learn something new every day.
And I found there's a Czech, looks like it's a Czech band. They had a CD that had a cicada on the front of it, and it looks like the name of their CD is something 616. And I was like, if that doesn't tell you. But Robin, that cicada, like I said,
I think gonorrhea is a queen.
They're just, you know, this stuff's being generated over at 4chan or 8chan, and they're just a bunch of who knew that you could be a fascist and a comedian at the same time?
Did you hear that? Did you ever see? Have you seen the video where the guy actually admitted that he was Q?
No. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's the guy that runs the damn web things, that the hosting service that they're on. I think. It may have been, was it a Canadian journalist or a British? I don't remember who it was, but the guy, he said something about to guy about being Q, and the guy goes, yeah. And he goes, I mean, and he smiled.
By the way, I just got a note including a photograph from Suman. Subject line, birthday gift. Suman says, I got this as a gift from my wife just as a joke. She did not talk to me for 2 hours. All good now after she saw the real gift. Dude lives dangerously. This is a coffee mug with a caricature of Nitwit Nero on it, and it says, you're a really, really great 40-year-old. The best. Really terrific. Just fantastic. Other 40-year-olds? Losers. Total disasters. Everyone agrees. Believe me. I don't know, Suman.
That's terrific.
I don't know.
Where the hell did he find that?
Don't answer, Suman. Don't answer.
I want to know.
That is funny. I'm sorry. It's funny.
I'm surprised she started talking to him after 2 hours. My God.
Well, it must have been a really good second gift.
I don't know. Weekend away at the Trump International? I mean, what? I mean, how do you follow up with something like that?
That shithole that you were talking about in Vancouver.
Jesus Christ.
My fucking Lord. What is that? Cool.
But I have to say, you have to be careful which international you go to. Those are fucking closing left and right.
Sounds like that place smells like vodka and borscht.
I don't know, vodka and murder.
And hamburger farts.
Well, there went dinner in the mountain in the mountain daylight time zone.
The guy who looks like he smells like hot dogs. I love that. I love that so much. That needs to be on his fucking tombstone.
Man who looked like he smelled. Here lies the man who looked like he smelled like hot dogs. Yeah, I need to qualify the hamburger farts. They're Big Mac farts, is what they are.
Oh.
Has anyone noticed lately Brian Williams is patrolling Trump's Super?
Oh my God! It is not fat shaming.
No one ever said four people can't fit into Trump's pants or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, he said it's not fat shaming to claim that a family of four can live in Trump's pants.
Yeah, but there's no windows, and you can't breathe in there. And you don't know which way is which.
Yeah, what's the old punchline? If I find my keys, we'll drive out. Yeah, is that it?
Wait, don't go out the back door. What?
I think we're in quick mud. Hey, Brother Bishop Steve made it into the conversation. Steve!
Robin, how's it going, man?
Oh, that's going. You know, it's just kind of rainy and shitty, but yeah, we'll be okay.
We're gonna make it, man. Gonna make it. That's a line from Easy Rider, by the way.
Yeah, I know it is. You're gonna make it, man.
Dig, man. It's nothing but sand here, man. They're not going to grow anything. Oh, they're going to make it, man. Dig, man. They're going to make it. Great movie.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Favorite. How you been, Robin?
Okay-ish. You know, little setbacks here and there. I live in a world now of flaming barbed wire hoops, and every now and then it just kind of gets to me. But, yeah.
It's across the board, man. It's Microsoft Teams crashed for about 2 hours today, and I'm sure that hurt a lot of folks. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I kind of wonder if you were in Microsoft hell this evening.
Oh, man. Just been one of those days.
It's fucking Fridays things.
Yeah.
You know?
That and I'm trying to get a band back together.
Are you really?
Yeah, since COVID's over. I got a really good fiddle player I've been working with and just didn't enough hours in a day, man.
What kind of set lists?
We haven't even gotten that far, Bob. I think we're going to start out with a Grateful Dead tune and we're going to grass it. I can't think of the name of it, but it'll come to me in a minute. But that's where I'm at now. So how's everybody else doing?
Fiddle music, man.
It's Ripple, the song Ripple.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Easily
done in the grass.
If my words would flow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And instead of the guitar playing the lead, I'm going to have him play the lead on the fiddle, you know, on the opening part where there's a lead guitar. You know what I'm talking about without getting too technical. So that should work. It should work.
Well, I have happy, happy news. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah, please report.
We are down to 425, and then Mark came along and took us down to 325. We're $25 away from fully funded for yesterday, and then we got 300, and we could actually... We're $325 away from a Horn community-made miracle with about 33 minutes to go in the program, and that's fantastic. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so very much, and thank you so very much, Jeremy. You know, you're there every night, and, man, I know it.
Robin, put me down for 20. I've been slacking lately, man. I just it's not enough hours in the day, brother.
All right.
Sister, God damn it. Bear
it
with me, man.
It ain't easy.
Bear
I mean, you know, the intro still says Bob. Everything still says Bob. I'm actually working on trying to figure out how to change my Twitter handle. You know,
man.
Email addresses and stuff like that are fairly straightforward. Changing your Twitter handle? Oh, my God.
God. Nightmare, huh?
No, it's horrible. Facebook was easy. And Instagram, nothing had to happen because I'm just hillbilly elitist over on Instagram.
Gender neutral.
Has anybody gotten stuck to the refrigerator that got the Moderna shot?
You know, I was walking past ours and...
Only Moderna shot magnetizes you?
No, the Pfizer.
So.
No, the Pfizer does. They all do. Because, you know, they got metal atoms. And I was walking by the fridge, and the next thing you know, it just pulls me over by the neck, and I'm like, yeah, help me. Now, I don't know, maybe the vaccine's migrating or something in the liquid barcode, but now I just, you know, I walk past the fridge, and, you know, my head tilts a little bit to the left or right, depending on which way I'm going.
Yeah,
and
no,
that woman said that's actually a doctor. I mean, shouldn't they remove her license for saying something so stupid?
Do you remember the woman, the doctor from Houston, family practitioner, who was part of that? A little over a year ago, she was part of that press conference that said, you know, Everybody needed to snort a 3-foot rail of hydroxychloroquine or something. Remember her?
Right off of Trump's ass, too.
Oh. Yeah, really said you needed to snort it?
No,
seriously?
No, but, you know.
You embellishing a bit.
I'm embellishing a little bit. Okay. I'm just making it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
So I'll carry on.
I have a problem with the different...
Go ahead.
So I have a problem with a different set of keys. My fingers get stuck on the M, the I, the R, the O, the S, the F, the T keys on the keyboard. I don't know why. There's metal traction on those keys. I just know what it is.
That's good. Give me a combo.
Yes, I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah, I pick up nuts and bolts in the parking lot of the hardware store.
Uh. Be great for getting nails out.
Can't help it. Yeah,
right?
Can't help it. I'm vaccinated.
I'm still wondering how these people are going to work if they make a little whoopee with their wife or what part significant other, how they ever get separated to be able to go back to work.
Oh, good point.
With a crowbar.
They just have to go into work like that.
They're just going to get stuck to the crowbar. I mean, a crowbar's made out of iron.
Right.
Use one of the
RoboCop. It's stuck to RoboCop. Yeah.
Use a Russian titanium crowbar.
I was going to say an aluminum alloy.
Yeah, but what polarity are you?
Good question.
Magnets don't really care.
About polarity?
Well, there's a north and a south pole, and I guess if the woman was south and you're south, then you wouldn't stick together.
Well, that's an abomination before the eyes of the Lord.
If you're both south?
Yes.
Oh, how about both north?
No. Got to be heteropolarity and just heteropolarity.
One's got to be north, one's got to be south. Therefore, you're going to be stuck together.
Right, in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, I think Steve really just he hit the nail on the head earlier. This is all just grifting. Whoever can get out there on the idiot box and say the craziest goddamn thing is going to make the most money, ultimately. Look at Fucker Carlson. Fucker Carlson, and Robin, you probably might have more insight to this than most people. How much do you think he really got paid on Crossfire back in the CNN days? I mean, that well paid?
Well enough. I mean, he wasn't wearing bow ties with gravy with brown bean pinto bean soup stains on or anything.
Okay, but what about compared to now?
Oh no, he's getting all hand over fist now.
Yeah, so you amp up the crazy. It's inversely proportional, you know. The more crazy you get, the more your salary increases.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. I mean, I would imagine he probably gets orders of magnitude more than say a Rachel or a Chris Hayes or Lawrence.
Right. Yeah, and this woman, this doctor, hopefully who should never be a doctor, is going to find a grift somewhere.
She's already got one.
Some money. What?
She's already got one. I mean, she's one of the lead anti-vaxxer people.
Okay, so she's leading that charge. So she.
I mean,
gets
there are,
the
you have the it's it is a mighty river of lucre to be involved in this shit.
There you go.
I mean, Q has been a tremendous grift for the people capitalizing on it.
Well, for Donnie too.
Yeah, sure.
Blob, and did I see Rick check in, or did I have too much lunch?
Yeah, Rick's there.
Oh, okay. Rick, you there? Thought I seen him.
Yeah, I think he popped in. Billable.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Billable.
How are you, man?
Hey, doing great. Doing
a lot
great.
Of legal stuff unfolded today. I'd like to get your take on it.
Well, you know, I guess I could weigh in on and or, but I think I'll just forego that.
Yeah, that gets Steve all worked up, so, you know.
Yeah, I actually like it and think it serves a purpose, but I'm not going to go into why.
Oh, fuck. We're screwed.
Steve did make an interesting point anyway. It wasn't a grammar Nazi point about those red light cameras and how they violate the Confrontation Clause of the Constitution, which basically requires the state to allow you to cross-examine the accusers against you, you know, people who testify against you. And because the red light camera is a machine, not a person, I believe the L.A. Superior Court determined, and maybe it was even a statewide court in California or maybe an appellate district. Anyway, a court determined that it does violate the Confrontation Clause, and as a result, those are no longer enforced, the red light cameras. You know, the tickets that you get through red light camera. So I definitely agree with that decision.
Well, me too. I didn't know about that case or anything. Thanks. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, one of the things I was asking about earlier, where did they get the warrant to seize this stuff, to seize the data from people like Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
Well, and now apparently Apple is talking. The DOJ subpoenaed info. Okay, so it wasn't a warrant. It was a subpoena. They subpoenaed info on 73 phone numbers and 36 email addresses.
Jeez, I tell you.
And
I
so mean, where was that? Why did Apple just roll over?
Well,
why didn't they pull the old subpoenas aren't enforceable card like Donnie did all those trillions of times?
Well, you're talking about going up against the largest, most awesome law firm in the world. At least it used to be the most awesome law firm in the world, still the largest, the U.S. Justice Department. And, you know, although Apple, I mean, they basically are richer than God almost. So it's like they could have easily fought it if they wanted to.
Maybe not easily, but could have. Yes.
I really don't know why. There may have been, you know, there may have been some crazy provision of the Patriot Act, which didn't give them the right to contest it and, you know, didn't allow them to notify the people who were being subpoenaed, you know, because sometimes
hey, that Rick,
condition. Yeah.
I take issue with your comment about Apple being richer than God because you obviously haven't read this prosperity gospel. There's lots of money in it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a giraffe-y llama.
Yeah,
that's kind of a gnar. Well, CNN is now reporting via Jim Acosta that Microsoft also got a subpoena in 2017.
Wow. I mean, this is the problem when you basically your Justice Department becomes an extension of, you know, El Duce, the leader, you know?
Personal lawyer. Yes.
Yeah, personal lawyer. Just like fucking Trump has, you know, the DOJ representing him in his the defamation suit by E. Jean Carroll.
That's so aggravating.
I mean, how is denial of an allegation brought by somebody in a private lawsuit, how does that constitute acting within the scope and authority of your official duties? I don't get that, you know? Scope and course of official duties.
I was hoping you'd be able to explain it to me because I can't figure it out either. And on top of that, the E. Jean Carroll case goes back to actions before he was a government employee.
It has nothing to do with the presidency.
No.
The lawsuit is defamation.
It's his words while he was president.
Are you sure those weren't made when he was a candidate?
No.
He
said it while he was
president. Allegation hadn't been made.
Oh, it's the defamation. All right, I hear what you're saying, Steve. All right.
They're not the act. Yeah, they're not defending him in the rape case. They're defending him in a defamation suit.
Yeah.
But why? This is fucking ridiculous.
Look, I explained it the other night in an email.
I think it's an incorrect decision. I think the district judge made the correct call initially when they issued the opinion, basically denying the request that the U.S. be substituted in place of Trump as the defendant. Because what happens in cases like that is you basically get the U.S. substituted for the defendant, and then you move to dismiss because there's no waiver of sovereign immunity, you know, for suits of that nature.
But it gets worse, Rick, because there's another aspect to this. You have to take into account that Merrick Garland knew about all of this shit when he came out and said, we're going to defend Trump and we're going to replace Trump in the defamation suit.
Right.
So he knew the shitty business that Sessions and Barr had been up to, and he still did that. And there's another layer here, too. It is as a result, if I understand correctly, it's as a result of this defamation suit that she is still seeking the DNA sample for her stained dress.
Right.
So if the case goes away, the DNA sample goes away.
Right.
And it just gets more wrong by the second.
Well, let me ask a question, Rick, and anybody who knows this. Okay, if they're going to be defending Trump in his capacity as president.
Right.
Does that, and what typically happens is when in that case, that when there's a new president, the new president gets substituted in. Like a lot of these cases that they brought against Trump, for whatever reason, are now named Biden and Garland.
President, if the suit,
so Biden's going to get deposed for this shit? For Trump's defamation?
But no.
The step to get rid of the suit is what it is, Chris. So basically, the first step is under what's called the Westfall Act. You get to substitute the U.S. for a public official, in this case, the president. So long as there's a certification by the attorney general that he was, or by, I guess, the U.S. attorney, that he was acting in the scope and course of his duties as president in connection with the law, matters alleged in the lawsuit. And then you get the
which
court.
Which it wasn't.
But what drives me crazy out of that, he was not sued in his capacity as president of the United States. He was sued for a defamatory statement that would be defamatory if he made it whether he were president or not president.
Yeah. And as we all know from the Jones versus Clinton case, a sitting president.
Dude, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's a little different, sure.
And it's a lot different because the Clinton suit was about actions that Clinton took, the allegations were actions that took place before he was president.
Right. The Clinton suit had nothing to do with him saying, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
By the way, she's a slut. Yeah.
defamation there.
Well, and we're kind of running low on time. And by the way, 3:05 finishes the week. That's huge. 3:05 finishes the week. And
that's essentially Friday.
That's today. Yeah.
That's all the way down from 900,
yep.
Robin?
Yep.
Wow.
Do it. Woo. There's only 20 minutes left. We can get it done, folks.
It would be awesome if we could. A lot of people
have felt. Did mine roll in, bro?
Yeah, it rolled in. Yeah, that's why we're down to 3:05. You took us from 3:25 to 3:05. Thank you, Steve. There's another piece of news out there. We now have yet another member of the Supreme Court of the United States who has at least a tangential association with sexual assault and sexual abuse. Care to guess? Hey,
can we guess? Can we guess?
Yes, who? Please.
It's gotta be Alito. I'm voting for Alito.
I was gonna say it was Amy Covid Barrett because I was gonna say because it was it was probably her handmaid.
Yes.
She held down.
Hold her down. Hold her down by the wrists. Yes.
It is in fact Justice Handmaid Amy Covid Barrett.
What?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because she was raised in a people of praise community in Louisiana Stan. She went on to be active with people of praise when she became a law student at Notre Dame. And in point of fact, she even, for a little while, she lived with the co-founder of People of Praise, a religious maniac by the name of Kevin Ranahan and his wife, Dorothy. Okay? And Amy Covid Barrett was, in fact, a handmaid, and handmaids were female advisors to other female members, and she sat on the Trinity Schools board, and the members of that board have to belong to People of Praise, okay? So enter a woman now, Katie Logan, 37 years old now, who was sexually assaulted at age 17 by her physics teacher at a school run by People of Praise.
Why?
She told the dean of the school what happened. He then relayed it to another official. And then the case was just dropped. And the teacher identified in the reporting as a guy named Dave Beskar went on and ran several other People of Praise schools, or maybe other schools generally. And, of course, Beskar denies that anything happened.
Okay.
And so this is the organization that was foundational to Amy COVID Barrett's upbringing. So that now brings to three. The white wing religious maniac members of the Supreme Court of the United States who are associated with credible allegations of sexual abuse and or sexual assault of women. That would be, of course, the granddaddy of them all, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas, Brat Rape 'em While They're Passed Out Kavanaugh, and now Justice Handmaid Amy COVID Barrett.
So what did she do? Did she, like, pull a Jim Shorts Jordan and just simply refuse to report the abuse? Was that the deal?
She's still part of the group, and you know the group. Right. The group was running the school that ran the sexual assault. So this would be 20 years ago, and she's a little bit younger than me. And so it would likely be during the time when she was on the board of Trinity Schools.
The group
happening here.
And see, this is one of those moments. So the Democrats were kind of weenies during her confirmation hearing. You might recall that they were afraid to bring up the fact that she was a religious maniac. And they wouldn't touch her, because even before her hearings, if you recall, the people were these dark money PACs were spending tens of millions of dollars running ads saying they're attacking Amy COVID Barrett for loving Jesus. And so all the Democrats were just shitting their pants, trying not to mention the fact that basically she's a member of the Christian Taliban.
Yeah. And it didn't help that. Senator Feinstein said an open committee that Graham ran the most open and fairest.
That brought up lunch.
This is like the most extremist wing of Opus Dei.
Well, right? No. She's not. No, this is a different group. People of Praise. It's ecumenical. Okay. You can be Catholic. You can be Protestant. You know, whatever. As long as you're Christian. But, you know, this should be hung around her neck like an albatross. But let me give some good news. Mike in Cascadia just said he'll kick in $25 if somebody will match it. It's the Anti-People of Praise Challenge. Thank you, Mike. And that would take us down to, let's see, that takes down $255. We'd actually be partially funded for today, even, which would be awesome. So thank you for that. Thank you for that, Mike. And, so there's $15 to go on that challenge, because Christopher just picked another member of the Fraternity of Christophers. Christopher just kicked in, so it's $15 left on Mike and Cascadia's challenge that'll get us down to $255 to finish the evening. And we got 10 minutes for a genuine Horn community-made miracle as we go into the thin part of the subscription part of the month. So thank you so much for that, Mike. But can we please, I know it's a lot to ask, and they won't do it because there's, you know, the majority is so slim right now, but about impeaching some of these assholes, you know, for things like perjury. And, I mean, perjury's enough. I mean, and it goes back to what I was saying in the filler roster about Bill Barr. Can we please have a prosecution for that? I mean, because, you know, Billable Rick, you talked about the DOJ as the biggest, baddest law firm in the world.
No.
But you don't get to violate the laws. What they did was illegal, was it not?
Yeah, it certainly sounds like the you know, basically you have an enemies list and you're going after the people on that list by issuing subpoenas regarding their matters. You can't do that.
And their family. And a minor at that. Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And for all we know, maybe Trump also sicked the IRS on some of these people too.
We're gonna find out. We are nowhere near even halfway into the corruption and filth and sleaze of this gang.
No.
And the part that wakes me up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night is the fact that they may be back.
I hope we're not resting
because I was talking about it earlier this week. I hope we're not resting on our laurels here. But I'm afraid too many of us are.
Democrats are shooting themselves in the dick. At least maybe the last couple months. That's my opinion. That's what it looks like to me.
This is a
massive kabuki theater that Biden's putting on. He's doing the bipartisanship game, playing the game, this and that. He knows how to handle Manchin and Sinema. Maybe there's a whole bunch of magic going on in the background that I'm not aware of. But from where I'm sitting and standing and watching, looks like Democrats shooting themselves in the dick time right now. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. You're probably not. I mean,
well,
you know.
I agree.
Shoot himself in the dick because they got no balls.
There you go.
The Senate looks extremely weak. Robin, are you going to that rally on Monday?
We are testosterone-y again this evening. I am. Oh, thank you. I need that program announcement. No program Monday. Or at least
good for
I won't.
You, man.
I won't be sitting here. Like I said before, if I can get good audio, I will send audio to the studio, and Agnes will sit here and send it out to the stream.
Hey, Robin.
Because I'm
maybe
sure.
Agnes
I'm sure.
Show
I'm sure there won't
today.
Be. A, I'm sure there won't be a bunch of. There won't be a bunch of live coverage, or probably not much coverage at all. Of what takes place there.
Well, it's like you were saying last night. You know, West Georgia had to step up. Now it's West Virginia's turn.
Yeah, I hope we can.
This situation has to be resolved.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. And somebody, you know, somebody with the authority to speak again more in sorrow than in anger to Joe Manchin has got to explain to him that people have been lying to him and giving him a historical version of the history of the filibuster. He has been fed untruths.
Bilious bullshit.
And yes, but, that.
Yeah, but isn't it really the issue where his cash flow is coming?
What are you saying, Sparky?
Whoa.
Sorry.
The Coke money from Charles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's
breaking
been,
it in.
Hold on. The money he has raked in lately has been from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Yeah, but where do you think that comes from in a roundabout way?
Well, you're probably right.
Robin, question. What kind of form is that? And a lot of people may not know, or maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe it's just my ignorance. Is it like a town hall, or how are you going to confront him?
There's no him to confront. He won't be there. But we are going to march from point A to Manchin's Charleston office over in the lottery headquarters building, which is ironic as fuck.
Hopefully you'll get some press.
Hopefully. I mean, it'll be covered locally. I don't know if it'll be covered nationally or not. It needs to be. And, hey, I got thanks to send out to Kevin in Massachusetts. Thank you. Kevin and Tracy, thank you so much. Let's see, that finishes Mike and Cascadia's challenge, which takes us down to 455, and then there is another, we're down to like 410. And Barbara, 310. 210. We're down to 210. And now Barbara has taken us down to $185. We are $185 away from a genuine, whopping big Horn Family Community Congregation, Community Made Miracle. 185.
That's pretty good. That's fabulous.
That's pretty good. $700 so far.
Yeah. And the Cubbies win. Cubbies win. Rick?
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
Did everyone see the go to the Oregon thing and see that fuckwad's speech?
Oh, it's nauseating.
Oregon, one of Oregon's finest.
But I don't know if everyone saw. It was unanimous to expel it.
I'm shocked at that because we got maggots. We got some serious fucking maggot issues here in Oregon. So I'm shocked that they would throw him under the bus.
I have a trick question for everybody. Everyone 26. Knows Queen in the song We Are the Champions. How does it end?
Say again, Jeremy?
The song Queen, We Are the Champions. How does that song end? How do you remember?
Is it of the world?
No, there's no of the world.
It ends abruptly, doesn't it?
Stops.
It just ends abruptly.
Yeah, there's no of the world. That was something people added on for some reason. Never existed, I guess.
Not of the world? That's not the end of the song?
It's not there. Just dead. It's not there.
Oh. God, you blew my mind, man. Now I'm going to have to fucking listen to that.
And what's your point, Jeremy? Where are you going with this? What's your point? Where are you going with this?
It was just a random thing to break the topic and talk about something that didn't mean anything basically.
Random thought. Okay, I thought you were connecting dots or something.
Stuart Smalley.
No, it's like...
That's Trump works. It's just a dead end.
Hey, Jeremy. Are you the Jeremy who I put something on Facebook, and I think it was you.
Yeah.
Oh, the butter. The thing with the butter?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, did everyone see that? That was the most... I thought that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Did anyone see it?
No. Back to porn again. What?
No, it's what it is. You know how you have these butter things that you can like put a stick of butter in and it helps you like to spread it on a corn cob. You know, I saw that
in the movie too. Yeah.
No, but this one is it's a fake hand. So you put the butter in there and you're like, and the hand goes on the corn cob. I saw that.
I just laughed. Look at it, Steven. I literally laughed out loud. Really, I mean, usually just put.
I used to have to funny, but too much into that.
You know, it wasn't. I mean, it was hilarious, wasn't it? I saw that, and I'm like, oh my god, oh my god.
I had to look at it twice because I didn't know what was going on at first. I'm like, what the? And I just started laughing. I like crying tears. I laughed so hard when I watched it.
Oh, you know what we should
ridiculous.
Do? We should send it. We should send that to Jim Shorts Jordan as a 4th of July gift.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That motherfucker.
Stroke his ego.
Who can
run against him? Can Joey should run against Jim Shorts Jordan somehow, some way. He needs to do that with Giraffe. He needs to win his seat. Take that fucking seat over, Joey.
That guy. If that guy doesn't have a Backpfeifengesicht, I don't know who does.
Backpfeifengesicht.
Oh my god. Does he have one, though?
Oh, please, yes.
I mean.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Oh.
Oh, and by the way, a little food porn before we wrap things up. I've been going on and on all week about the Old Bay hot sauce.
Hell yeah.
Well, Kevin in Massachusetts and his lovely spouse, I just got sent a picture of the homemade tomato soup that she made this evening, in which she doused liberally with the Old Bay hot sauce, and I get this message with the photograph of it. Old Bay hot sauce goes good in homemade tomato soup. Bomb. And with fresh farm tomatoes that Tracy picked up. Oh, my God.
Oh.
And that sounds
Oh, my soul is just singing.
Can I just, and I don't know if I'm the only one, am I the only one who likes a big dollop of sour cream right in the middle of your...
Yes,
absolutely.
And you know what else is so good with it? That salt rising bread you were talking about, Robin.
Grilled to golden in butter. Yes.
Motherfucker. Oh. It sounds so good.
Oh, man.
So, I'll tell you a little dirty capitalism story. It doesn't count on anything. But the Northeast, we have a bakery called the Coffee Cup Bakery. They've supplied the Northeast since, like, the 40s, I think, with bakery stuff. But they closed abruptly last month, claiming bankruptcy and no way to come back from it. They didn't even pay their employees their time they earned off and stuff. That's how bankrupt they were. So another company stepped in and said, yeah, we'll buy them out.
Who's groaning, man?
That's Sparky. I don't know. Jeremy, keep going.
He's snoring?
Somebody bought this company out and said, yeah, we'll probably restart it. Well, they announced this week they're not restarting it. They bought it so there'd be no competition against them. The people still have no jobs.
Wow. The evil never stops, Jeremy.
Hey, anyone here from New York other than me?
Oh.
If you're listening and you're from New York, make sure you get your vaccine passport.
Okay. How much does that cost?
Nothing.
For reals? You have them?
Yeah, there's an
app. So that means
Chris, let me talk.
Okay.
There is an app called the Excelsior app. You do a search for Excelsior vaccine passport. You go on there. You have to register because all the vaccines are in like a database, and it matches your name, your birthday with your and when you got vaccinated, and it populates it into the app, and it lasts for a year, and it's got a QR code on it.
Oh. So let me ask you a question. Are the Rangers or Islanders still in the playoffs?
I don't give a flying fuck. I'm not a Ranger.
What? Well, you were a hockey guy.
I'm not a Rangers guy. The Isles are in it, but I'm not a Rangers or Islanders fan.
So my question would be, to get into the arena, it would be nice if they demanded that app and that proof.
They probably will.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they probably will. I mean, I would never. I'm not. I am not a U.S. hockey fan. I'm purely Canadian.
Keith Olbermann did a deal a month or so ago that the only people that got into the hockey game were people that were vaccinated.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know anything about that, Sparky. Thank you for telling me that.
He went to a Rangers game.
Oh, okay, that's good.
That's what we need.
In Canada, they just started allowing fans in the arenas in the game 7 of the Canadian series.
Didn't I see Elton John come out with a statement that acts tour Europe, it's going to be like the Red Summer or Summer of Death? Or I think I saw something about that on BBC. So why doesn't he launch a tour where you only get in the vaccine passport, like you just talked about, Steve? Like an app for that.
Because he can't do that.
Why can't he fucking do that? What? Why not?
Okay, let me ask you something. How is he going to enforce it?
Well...
He has app. The venue. He makes sure the venue does it.
Yeah, he doesn't sign a contract with the venue. And if the venue fails to provide...
I mean, that all sounds great. That sounds great. But, again, so, okay, a person buys a ticket online.
Well, with the QR code that you're talking about.
To get in, they got to show proof of vaccination. That's easy.
Okay. To buy the tickets, you have to prove.
Vaccination, sure. That's the way to do it.
What?
You know, who buys the tickets, just so the people who show up with the tickets.
Well, it'd be nice to do it at the source if you possibly could. Then you know, you know, you're probably right. That makes more sense because Mr. Vaccinated.
I need to get a quick message in from Shorty in L.A. Great. That's just freaking great. Cubs win. Today, Chicago is officially open to every traveling tourist. Also, something else, Chicago will be having a Palooza, Lollapalooza, Chicago Appapalooza, whatever, for whatever stupid-ass reason. I'm worried for everybody back home. Please don't anybody go to Chicago for the next 3 months. Trying to talk as fast as I can. Use voice to text. Hope you get it in time. Oh, great.
Both teams are in first place.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people at both parks.
Yeah. Folks, let Jeremy talk.
Oh,
go, Jeremy. Guess not.
Well, at any rate, we got to get out of here anyway. The back porch will continue after the program is off live air. If you want to jump in, feel free to do so. We made tremendous strides this evening. Got all the way down to $185 to finish the
to finish the
week. Anybody listening in the overnight crew, it would be much obliged if we could wipe that out, because with me not here on Monday, you know, we're going to be digging out of a hole again. That's what comes of not doing the bidding of Chuck Koch and Dead Dave Koch. You know, there's no river of money flowing from them. It's just the determination of this magnificent community to make sure that this program continues. And we have some fine conversations, and I'm so grateful for them. So thanks, everybody, who helped out this week. Thanks for the great conversation in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you so very much indeed. Thanks to everybody who helped knock down a terrifying financial deficit to close the first full week of June, only $185 away from fully funded. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks to everybody who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room, and thank you to Sparky at the seat of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for Friday on the front porch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way in just a little under an hour, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them via phone or email to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHCE Act. We've been working on it for nearly 10 years, and you have to have that kind of stick-to-itiveness to get a law passed in D.C., and it would mean the world. It certainly means the future to Appalachia. Please stay safe. The next time, by the way, I'll try to post some pictures from Pride tomorrow. It'll probably be sloppy and rainy, but that's not going to dampen my joy and the joy of others. We'll probably have some barking, grunting, hooting, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Bible-thumping, ammosexual, gundamentalist Christians screaming at us. They usually do. But, again, that will also not steal our sunshine. Like I said, I'll try to post some pictures. And the next time, the march starts at 5 p.m. on Monday evening in Charleston. So I don't know if they'll be talking first or talking after, but I'll try to call into Agnes. She's not feeling great right now. It all depends on how she feels. But we'll try to get some live audio out if it is at all humanly possible. And then for sure I'll be back here on Tuesday evening per usual. In the meantime, if you haven't gotten your vaccine, please get it. If you have gotten it, remember, it's your last line of defense, not your first line, just like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Please continue to wash your hands, avoid touching your face, use your hand sanitizer, wear your mask as appropriate, maintain your social distance as appropriate, and for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you grunting and barking and hooting about mask hole Nancy Pelosi, avoid that woman like the plague. Because she is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.